राम राम हरे हरे। जय शिवपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर चरण श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणानंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। मिथिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदवाणी वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की नयम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविनाथ श्याम राधा डिग्री गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की तो ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shivaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarne Nirvisheshe Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मां उद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोहृदि मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्तिपादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सुरयां तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाम् धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यमरुद्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकातरमजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनीदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमा नतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारवेगम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतामुरारे मधुरिन्न कणिगापि कापिगापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणि प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणि श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा
വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വദാലയേഷ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയന്മേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവീര്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായി നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീമഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാം അനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാഹ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതഗുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പരാശരവജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേമീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ So yesterday when we were discussing Bhikshu Gita, we were referring to these verses where Brahmana is lamenting about his life for what happened. Brahmana is saying that he was given a body, a particularly a human body, which Krishna glorifies in the Bhagavatam, the benefits of having a human body, what it can do, what it can achieve in life. Having said that, Brahmana is saying that the Ladhva Janma Amara Prathyam Manushyam Tad Vijagriyadam, 22nd verse, Tadanadrataye Swartham Ghandi and Ashubham Gadim. But I did not use this body, he said, for the right purpose for which it was given. Like Shastram says, even demigods like to get a human body. Because that too in Bharatavarsham, to get a body in a human body, in a Brahmana's body, and still he is saying that I spend all my life, wasted it, he says, completely wasted it. And that burning inside for having wasted the whole life, the Bhikshu Brahmana is lamenting about that. He says, I have done so many different things in my life and wasted the whole life, he says. And I'm not available anymore for this. And that was the sign of that vairagyam or renunciation inside. Somehow or the other, Krishna has shown that compassion or grace towards the Brahmana. And Brahmana felt immediate necessity to, an urgency inside to realize the truth, to realize the self, in other words. He felt an urgency inside. He felt that I have wasted all my life in this way, acquiring wealth, and that through, without engaging in either happiness in this world or in the next world. So this decision making is the most important thing. What happened to that Brahmana's life? He has decided that I want some peace in life and happiness in life. So in the Viveka Chudamani we mentioned yesterday also these words where it says there that Labdhva Kadachinda Rajanma Durlabham Kadachin Narajanma Durlabham Tatravi Pumstvam Shudivara Darshanam Shudivara Darshanam Yesu Alpa Mukto Na Yadeda Mutadi Nahi Alpaha Swam Vinihatya Asadgrahad Vinihatya Asadgrahad. So, labdhva kadachin narajanma durlabham. First thing is, Krishna has given us a human body. Narajanmam is the human body which is rare, durlabham. Tatrapi punstam shudivara darshanam. And in that human birth with a male body and also opportunity to master the Vedic literature, master the Vedas, shudivara darshanam, particularly an opportunity to study the Shastram, Vedam. Is to alpa mukto na yadeda mothati. And instead of engaging in spiritual life, completely absorbed in maintaining the body and the and the family, is to alpa mukto na yadeda mothati. Not to endeavoring for freedom or freedom from material existence, or in other words, liberation. Instead of endeavoring for that, na hi alpasvam vinihatya vinihanya samud asadgrahad. Instead, that person is committing asadgrahad by holding on to the body and the material life. Asadgrahad, which is, it is not satya, which is asatya, is actually committing a suicide. That is the fourth verse in the Viveka Chudamani. It says like this, Labdhva kadajan narajanma durlabham tatrapi pumstam shudivara darshanam yesu alpa mukto na yadeda mothadi nahi alpa sarum vinihandyasan asadgrahad vinihanya asadgrahad. So, I am saying that, he says there, I got a human body, a Brahmana body, and that too had an opportunity to study the Shastram as well. And then he says, after that you have wasted this life, then what a stupid person I am. Brahmana is lamenting that like that. Anadritya kevalam. He says, simply because I have shown disrespect to Krishna. I have shown disrespect to Krishna. Krishna has given me a human body, but I did not care. I did not take this opportunity properly. So, sometimes we can see this, somehow or the other, Krishna has given an opportunity to certain people, particularly, a great opportunity in their life, but they couldn't utilize it in the proper way. But at the later on in their life, they regret about it. They totally regret about it. So the Brahmana also felt exactly the same way. And he says there, how unfortunate I am. And that is what he says in the next verse. Surgabhavargayor dvaram Prapya logamimam puman drivine konusha jeda martyo anarthasya dhamani. Surgaba vargayor dwaram prapya logamimam puman drivine konusha jeda martyo anarthasya dhamani. Then, I have been given an opportunity, but I did not utilize this life for the purpose I was sent here. And therefore, I am a very sinful person. And naturally, my destination is not very good, says the Brahmana, because I disrespected this body. I disrespected this human body. When Krishna gave us this body, it had a purpose. It had a purpose, and that purpose is realizing the truth, realizing the self. Instead of utilizing it for that purpose, I have utilized for something else, and that is a disrespect towards Krishna. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam vaded edet anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. You will see in the earlier chapters, Krishna is talking to Uddhava. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande. After going through so many different species of life, this human body has been given. Manushyam arthadam. That human body is arthadam, is valuable. Anityam, even though it is meaningful, but it is temporary. He is reminding that. Manushyam arthadam, but anityam. Anityam, it is temporary. Abiha dhiraha. But a person who is properly situated or who is conscious of his own responsibility, he says, turnam padet yaded. Before it drops off, yaded anumurtiya vel nishreyasaya. He should utilize this opportunity for this human body for the right purpose, for shreyasa. Or auspiciousness at the end. Nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That khalu sarvadasyal. That because everything else what we do in this life, in this human body, apart from self-realization, everything else what we do, animals also have got it. There is not practically any difference there. That is why Krishna is saying that. Krishna is saying to Uddhava that this human body, it can do, the capabilities of this human body, it's the only body, it's capable of realizing the truth, realizing the self. So instead of utilizing it for that purpose, if you go and do so many other things, acquiring wealth, sense gratification, all these things, Krishna is saying even animals can do that. Where is the difference? That is Krishna's point. Nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. It's available everywhere else, but it is not, there is nothing special about it. But self-realization or realizing the truth is only possible in the human body. Saying that Krishna has spoken like this. Krishna told this Brahmana also about the Brahmana. He says, you have been given a birth, a human body, a Brahmana body, and that too the land where the rishis have traveled, rishis have walked on that land. That is the greatest significance. Vedic culture means rishis. They are the personalities behind it. The great, great rishis, great, great sages who gave us Upanishads, who gave us Vedam, who gave us Mahabharatam, who gave us Bhagavatam. All these great rishis have there walked on that land and having given a birth there and all opportunities to develop spiritually, if it has been misused, Uddhava, there is nothing more unfortunate than that. This was Krishna's point. So, Brahmana is realizing this all, but it's too late. He's already 78, 80 years old. And this time now, having wasted the whole life, a body that's been given to him, particularly for this purpose, for realizing the truth, that's been abused. And he regrets and he is lamenting about that at this stage in life, at the old age. So it is too late, that therefore he is saying there, therefore whatever time is left there, I'm not going to worry about anything else now. Doesn't matter, let Krishna has shown some compassion for me, he says. Otherwise, how did this vairagyam come to me at this stage in my life, says the Brahmana. Brahmana's mind is working in the right way. He's saying that Krishna has shown some compassion to me. Otherwise, how could I feel this renunciation inside the way I'm feeling now? I wanted to throw away everything from life and walk out from this. Reminds you when Krishna says to Uddhava, Tvam tu sarvam parityajya sneham svajanabandhusho maya veshyamana samyak samadrek vijaraswagam. So that is what it is, that Sundu Sarvam Paritejya, break up all the relationships with this world. Krishna says to Uddhava, isn't it? That's how Ekadashi Skandam begins. Tandu sarvam parityajya. Break up all connections with this world, because if we want to free ourselves from the material life, we have to break the connection with this world, not only with this body. Tundu sarvam parityajya, everything must be given up. What all? Sneham swajanam bandusho. That's important. The attachment, sneham means the attachment towards one's own people and the relations. Sneham swajanam bandusho. Krishna says to Uddhava, tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajanam bandusho. After that, only maya veshyamana, attached to Krishna, samyak, all the time, samadrayak, with an equal vision, vijaraswagam, walk through this earth. So, this was Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And you will see in that verse, sneha nirasam, asha nirasam, vairagyam, all things are packed into that verse. So, this is the first thing itself in the Bhikshu Gita you can see. The Brahmana is acknowledging that fact. My relationship with this world is over, he says. My relationship with this world is over. No more, no connection with this world anymore. Walking away from the world. So, because the vairagyam is an essential ingredient in the advancing in the path of spiritual life. We can't hold on to this world and go back to our Swarupam, to our identity or self. That is not possible. So that is why it mentions there that kaschil klesha arjidarthe kshayavimalamadir nudyamano janauke prageva praha vipro khalu nakhalu mama jana kala karma grahavam chedome dukkahedu tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvakari Tetva shandau gadastvam mamajakuru vibho tadrishim chitta shandim. What that Brahmana got? Chitta shandi. Shandi inside. The Brahmana got shandi inside. That is what he is saying there. Krishna gave me the vairagyam. Brahmana saying, I lost everything. Doesn't matter. He says, Brahmana is saying, I lost everything. Doesn't matter. But Krishna has given me vairagyam inside. And because of that vairagyam, what happened? Shandi has come. Shandi had come. Kaschil kleshar jidarte kshaya vimalamadheram. They endeavored very, very hard in whole life to acquire wealth. Kleshar jidarte kshaya vimalamadheram. Nudhyamano janauke prageva praha vipro nakhalimavajana kala karma grihava. And when it was all taken out, Brahmana thought that so many others are responsible. Time was responsible, kalam, action, karma was responsible, planets were responsible. But now he says, no, nobody is responsible. Chedo me dukkha hedu. My own mind is responsible for this situation. Tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvagari. Tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvagari. Chitva tetva shandau gadastvam. Mamaja kuri vibho tadrishim. Chitta Shandim. Brahmana says to Krishna that the dukkha hedu is chetas. Cause of my distress is my mind, and which is influenced by the three modes of material nature. Tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvakari tetva shandau gadastvam. And when I have completely abandoned that mind, I am not going to listen to this mind anymore. I have completely abandoned that mind. So he's saying, Tetva shandau gadastvam. As soon as I gave up my mind, shandi had come. Mind is the cause of all the problems, isn't it? Nayam janome sugadukka hedu na devadalma grihakarma kalaha manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakra parivartaye bhul. So he realized that the mind is the cause. So threw the mind away. No more mind after that. Not allowing any more chitavrittis inside. That is what the Brahmana has done. That was only possible due to the vairagyam Krishna has given to him. The after effect of that vairagyam is that. That vairagyam created this situation in the mind. He could not think anymore about anything. So freed from the grip of this world, from the influence of the friends and families and society, above everything for him, the most attachment was towards the money. And that also he got released from that. This has happened all the time in the history. Tektva shandau gadastvam mamaja kuru vibho tadrishim chitta shandim. The result was that tadrishim chitta shandim. Chitta shandi has happened to him. So, Ekadashi skandam is called the Mukti skandam, isn't it? That is the word used in the Sridharajari Swamiji's Bhagavatam commentary. Mukti skandam. Mukti means liberation, isn't it? Liberation from what? Mukti hitvanya dharubam surubena vyavastiti. Mukti means hitva anyadharubam. Anyadharubam means right now we all have a rubam in us. Our existence here is in a particular body, particular form, and with various designations over it. That is our present state, is it not? Mukti hitvanya dharubam. All these different identities, once we can throw it away and come out of it, svarubenam vyavasthiti, and we situated in our svarubam, in our pure spiritual identity, that is called mukti. In Bhagavatam you will see, in the second canto, mukti stetvanya dharubam svarubenam vyavasthiti. So, and Srimad Bhagavatam defines mukti in that way. So therefore, mukti is a symptom, Bhagavatam has spoken like that. So, knowledge of the self itself is liberation. If you have the knowledge of the self, that itself is called liberation. Hitvam anyadharubam svarubenam. Anyadharubam, everything outside me, outside my identity, if I leave that behind, then, and to be situated in one's own identity, and to stay in that, that is called svarubena vyavasthiti, to remain as we are. So, and Krishna mentioned this, if you remember in the last chapter, when concluding that chapter, Krishna told Uddhava in the 56th verse, tasmad Uddhava, maam bukshu vishayan asadindriyai alma grahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpikam bhramam. So, alma grahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpikam bhramam. In the last chapter, Krishna mentions there. So, what is the greatest distress in life? That is what Krishna is pointing out. The greatest distress in life is not knowing oneself, what we are. That is the greatest distress. Greatest distress in our life is not knowing what we are. This is our present state. That is what Krishna is saying there. Atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam manaha. Due to the vigalpam of the mind, not knowing Atma, not knowing the self, Atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam bhramam. He has mentioned that before. So, what is that? That is the greatest distress. So, not knowing ourselves, what was the result of that? Result was that we didn't make any profit from that by not knowing ourselves. But on the other hand, we have lost a lot of things. What was that? That aprapya ashesha praptaha, that prapya ashesha anandaha. In other words, we did not get any of the purushartham what we should have. Purushartham means dharmartha kama moksham. Out of that, moksham is the purushartham. So, we did not get that. We didn't get liberation. Instead, we got a lot of anartham. Anartham means that what we have acquired in life, what is that? Different karma vasana, karmic reactions, and all other desires that has been built up. These are all anartham that has come to us. Various kinds of desires, and due to that, many more material bodies later, which will generate many more material bodies later. This is all the anartham that we have created now in this life. We didn't profit from that to get to free ourselves. That is the loss. That's the loss. We didn't make any profit because we created a lot of loss as well. The loss is this, that we have created so much vasana inside, kama vasana inside, which will subsequently develop many more material bodies in future. So this is our present existence. That's what the Brahmana... So Brahmana is saying here that because I have identified with the body and the mind and the senses, and I thought myself I am this person in identification with this body, and it is through this body, all the vyavaharam or transactions is going on in this world. And what to talk about this vyavaharam, even vyavaharam after leaving this body can happen. That because vyavaharam for the future, we are cultivating here, with our vasanas here. So, ihalogam and paralogam, this world and the next world is being decided here, with our work. If we engage in pious activities, you get a higher body, but in a higher planets. That's all. But when that is over, then you come back here again and continue with another body. So you have not escaped from the bodily existence. From the existence of the body, you haven't got freedom. So that is why it says that ihalogam and paralogam, this logam and the next world, you are carrying on creating the bodies here or there, whatever it may be. So, problem is that as long as we are thinking, identifying with the body, I am, it will be impossible for us to give up that selfishness from inside. Swarthada. It will never go away inside. Otherwise, because of that only, ragam, dvesham, himsa, asuya, all other things develops from that. It all comes from this identification with the body. Attachment, aversion, violence and envy, pride, all these are byproducts of this identification with the body. So, Krishna says, Atmagrahana Nirbhadam. Krishna uses the word Atmagrahanam. Atmagrahanam means self-realization, knowing the self. So, Atmagrahanam, Krishna calls it as knowledge. Knowing the self is called knowledge. Knowing the self is called knowledge. Who I am, what is my real identity. And Krishna's point is, to be situated happily and in a blissful state, you don't require anything from externally. Externally nothing is required. And nothing is necessary from outside. And only to be situated happily, you only need yourself. Only the self is required. Self on its own is totally happy. Said. And this experience Krishna is giving us every night in the deep sleep. Is it not? That is a clear indication what Krishna is saying here. Atmagrahana. If you want to connect that with the Sushupti, you will know that deep sleep state. This is that statement. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpikam Brahmam. Krishna's point is that when you have not got the soul, when you are not situated in the platform of the soul, in your identity of the self, in the Atma stage, that Pasha Vaigalpikam Brahmam. Vigalpam will come and then you are thrown away from your identity. You are not in that identity anymore. When you go into the deep sleep state, you are not identifying with anything. There is no vigalpam and therefore you are situated in the platform of the soul and therefore there is happiness. This is the logic behind that. So, things like this, you can't ignore this. This is knowledge. If you don't accept this, then there is no further progress in spiritual life. It's finished there. That this is important statements in the Bhagavadam. When Krishna is saying, Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpikam Brahmam, as though as there is Vigalpam inside, there is no hope further. Vigalpam must go. The self has to go. Everything associated with the body and the mind has to go. It will be situated always on the platform of the soul. So, in that deep sleep state, without anything, without the help of anything, you don't have the body, you don't have the mind, you don't have the intelligence, and the ahankaram, false ego is also not there, and you are happy. And you are happy in there. So, nirvishesham. So, practically you can say it is the unconditional state. No conditions attached to it. Is it not? No conditions attached to it. Simply happiness, nothing else. The bliss state, what you experience there. So, no impurities, no adulteration of anything else. And all the time, the importance of this deep sleep state is, all the time it is the same. It's not varying, isn't it? Our happiness in the wakened state is subject to variation. But happiness in the deep sleep is not subject to variation. It is steady. It is the same thing. So, where is that coming from, that happiness? It's coming from the Atma. It's coming from the Atma. It didn't come from the body. It didn't come from the mind. The happiness that what we have experienced in the deep sleep state did not come from the body and did not come from the mind. Did not come from the mind. That is why Krishna is pointing out that Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpikam Brahmam. It didn't come from the mind either. So, therefore, not only that didn't come from the body or the mind, it didn't even come from the intelligence either. Neither the intelligence. It didn't come from at all from outside. Directly, it has come from the self. Krishna is saying, give your attention there. Where did that happiness come from? It's come from the self, is it not? So, that happiness, bliss, what you experience in the deep sleep state, is the nature of the self. Is the nature of the self. And that nature, or that happiness, that is our personality. Not this personality, what we project in the world in the form of ahankaram. That is not our personality. This is the misunderstanding. We call personality, personality, isn't it? Our concept of this personality is this ahankaram inside, false ego. And that's what project into the world. Oh, I'm this person, I'm that person. That's all ahankaram it is. But actual personality is that deep sleep state happiness, what you experience, that is our actual personality. Actual personality. Because that personality, it is our real existence there, astitvam. Or abhyaktitvam, whichever way you call that. That is what we are. Actually, that is us. That's what we are. Not this ahankaram, what we project into the world as personality. This is a false thing. This is a false thing. So, and not knowing that is my personality, and thinking that this ahankaram is my personality, that is called vigalpam. You see? See when Krishna uses that word? Almagrahana narbhadam pasya vaikalpigam brahmam. Vaikalpigam means vigalpam. What is a vigalpam? Vigalpam is this. That I don't know my actual identity. What is that identity? In the deep sleep state, what you experience there, bliss. That pure bliss, which is untouched by anything else, by the body, mind, intelligence, ego, nothing. But it is always steady, that experience, and everybody has the same experience in the deep sleep. All of us are equal at that time, isn't it? There's no prime minister, there's no president, there's no king, there's no queen, there's no man, there's no woman. It's all the same experience, what we all experience in the deep sleep state, that is called the bliss, or anandam, or sukham, or identity of the self, or nature of the self. Nature of the self is that bliss. We lost that, and we have identified with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses and everything. We didn't know that, and we know this. That is why it's called vigalpam. Vigalpam means that. So that's what Krishna is saying there. Almagrahana narbhadam pasya vaigalpiyam brahmam. And from this vigalpam what happened? Brahmam has come. That's the effect of this vigalpam. Once you have that vigalpam, there will be a brahmam. Brahmam means this illusion. So many illusions centered around the body and the mind. Thinking that the world is permanent, I am permanent, and family is permanent, money is permanent, wealth is permanent, everything is permanent, and enjoying, trying to enjoy. These are all the vigalpam that's coming from the forgetfulness of our identity. This is why Krishna is saying the greatest misery in this life is forgetting, losing your own identity. Once you have lost it, then that is our greatest misery. Krishna is pointing out that too in this situation. So Krishna called that word there, vaigalpigam brahmam. That's the word Krishna is using there. And once you know that, what you are, that is called nirvigalpam. There is no vigalpam anymore. Vigalpam means this number of identities, variations and different identities based on the body, mind and all that. That's called vigalpam. But once you lose that, once you know your real self, who you are, which is that bliss or happiness inside of the self, that is called nirvigalpam state. Nirvigalpam. Nirvigalpam means there is no division there. When you have vigalpam, you have divisions. Do you know what I'm saying? Divisions means that you are saying something is right, something is wrong. Something is good, something is bad. He is my friend, he is my enemy. These are all vigalpams, the dual sides of it. So, nirvigalpam means there is no division. Division comes when there is vigalpam. As long as we have vigalpam, there will be divisions in this world. And nirvigalpam means there is no division. That means there is no doubt about anything. Once vikalpam comes and division comes, there will be doubts about everything. Who is right, who is wrong? We always in the vyavaharam, that's always important, isn't it? We take it, something is right and something is wrong. So many different opinions in this world, all various things. Where is this all coming from? Because of the vikalpam inside. Completely confused, isn't it? In several situations you can see, even big people, they are confused what's the right thing to do. In certain situations, what is the right thing to do? This has been created by the mind due to the vikalpam inside, and due to that vikalpam, the brahmam has come, and that brahmam is in the form of this division. Division means that you are unable to make, opposing things are coming to us. You make one decision, immediately somebody is saying to you from inside, that's not the right one, I should go the other way. So this situation. So our Krishna is saying, if you are properly situated in the self, then it is called a nirvikalpam. This won't happen. Astitvam. Astitvam means our proper identity with the self. In that state, if you are situated, this vikalpam won't be there. Vikalpam won't be there. So, and the reason for vikalpam, why vikalpam comes is because of intelligence, mind, senses, all these things when they come together, vikalpam will come. So, in our pure spiritual identity, there is no intelligence, there is no mind, there is no senses. As soon as you have a material body, and these mind, intelligence, senses comes, vikalpam must come, and once the vikalpam comes, you are in trouble. Then brahmam will come from that, illusion will come. This is Krishna's opinion about that. Almagrahana nirbhadam pashyavaikalpikam brahmam. Pashyavaikalpikam brahmam. These things, nobody can question these things. These are rishis. Conclusions. The great rishis have concluded this. And that is exactly what Krishna is also repeating this. When we want to understand Vedic culture, the first people whom we have to understand are the rishis, the sages, which has been listed in the Bhagavatam in several places. They are the backbone of the Vedic philosophy. It is from them all this understanding has come. In the modern world, people are presenting that they are also the authorities on the Vedam. Nobody is authority. Only authorities are the rishis, nobody else. Whatever they have spoken, that is only acceptable. Nothing else is acceptable. Everything else we are contacting, we are concocting on our mind. So many different things. Is it not? That is not authority. Only authority is what the rishis are saying, nothing else. Rishis have spoken in the Bhagavatam, they have spoken in the Mahabharatam, they have spoken in the Upanishads, everywhere. It is their authority all the way in the Vedic philosophy, what you find. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else's opinion is acceptable. That is why every time you will see, Nama Parama Hrishibhyo Nama, Nama Parama Hrishibhyam Nama. Rishis and rishis are given all the respects and obeisances to them. It is they who kept this highest knowledge intact in this world through their realizations and through their revelations to us in this world. All the gratitude towards them. Great, great devotees, when they talk about Vedic philosophy, they will say this, Nama Parama Hrishibhyo Nama, Nama Parama Hrishibhyam Nama. Hrishis alone are our authority, nobody else. Nowadays everybody is an authority, isn't it? They are all saying, and they all their own ideas, and they bring it and present it to the world as though something new they have developed. There is nothing new to develop here. It's already, everything is so perfect, it doesn't require any development. To that extent it is perfect. That is why you will see in every Upanishad statements, you will see, Nama Parama Hrishibhyo Nama, Nama Prashibhyam Nama. To Hrishis and Hrishis alone, our respects, nobody else. To rishis and to the rishis alone. Nama Parama Hrishibhyo Nama, Nama Parama Hrishibhyam Nama. Nobody else. Nobody else. What they say is only acceptable. Nobody else. Nobody else is acceptable. So, after saying this, he says here also that their opinion is this. It is from them that we have got this understanding, because they have gone so deeply inwards. And when we don't have a material body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them, but still that awareness inside, I exist, my existence there, that is called, that experience itself for everybody who has that, it is called a nirvikalpam, without any vikalpam. And how to get it back, that is our present situation. We don't have it at the moment. We are not able to separate it out from our body, mind and intelligence, isn't it? So, Shastram says that in order that to happen, that you cannot get it by working for it. Working hard, you won't get it. You won't get it. You have to remain quiet, first of all. So, if you start doing something, in the Bhagavatam you will see Kriya Karaka Kalapam. Three things will happen. What are they? Kriya means action. Karma will come. And Karakam, I am the doer, will come. And Kalapam, all the after effects of that. Kriya Karaka Kalapam. You will see in the Bhagavatam in many places mentioned that. So, I am doing this and it is being done and I am the person doing that, and the results of that, all these things will come once karma begins. So, in order to be in that state, what Krishna has spoken, first of all, that ahangaram alone shouldn't be there. If the ahangaram is there, all the other things will follow from that. So, the point is that if you have to do any karma in this world, then ahangaram is necessary. Ahangaram is the one who engages in the karma, isn't it? Na kashchal kartrutva rahitena upadidam. Kartrutvam, without kartrutvam, vyavaharam is not possible. To conduct, do vyavaharam in this world, kartrutvam is necessary. I am the doer will be necessary. And so without getting closer to this kartrutvam, once you engage in karmam, kartrutvam will come. So to free yourself from the kartrutvam, you have to free yourself from the karmam. Kartrutvam and karmam goes together always. So only in that case you can remain free from that. So that is what Krishna calls it as knowledge. And what is the best yoga system in that sense? To remain in a state where you are not absorbed in the body and not absorbed in action. And you can't ask that question, how do I sit quiet? That you can't ask. You have to sit down and do it and think, look at it, how it happens. Even if you sit quietly, what will happen is thought waves will come, chitavritti will come, or sometimes sleep, you may get sleep at that time, false ego will come, start disturbing, and at the same time some emotions can develop inside. All these are during when you are in your sitting quietly somewhere. But even if any of those things happen, that means the sleep or thought waves or ego or emotions, whatever that comes in, not going along with it, but at the same time able to learn how to remain free from that, unaffected by that. That we have to, everyone has to do it oneself. No one else can help us on that. So this is the same thing Krishna has spoken earlier in the form of Prakriti and Purusha. When we talked about Prakriti Purusha, in the Prakriti, material nature, and Purusha, the Atma, in that state, Krishna has spoken this before. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this in the 13th chapter. Tushnim bhaved. I don't know whether you remember. Tushnim bhaved sugabhut nijana bhavo niriha. 13th chapter, if you look, Hamsagita, when he spoke, the four Kumaras came and Krishna had a discussion with them. And there, if you look into the 35th verse, in the 13th chapter, 11, 13, 35. Drishtim dadaprada nivurtya, nivurta trishnas tushnim bhaved, nijasukhan bhavo niriha. Samdrishya dekojam yadidam avastva buddhya, tyaktam bhramayana bhavel smriti anipada. That verse, very important verse. Drishtim dadaprada nivurtya, nivurta trishna tushnim bhaved, nijabhavanu. Nijasukhanu bhavo niriha. This is what that state. This is that state. Not doing anything, not engaging in any action, able to sit quietly, completely unaffected by the body. Even if they come, emotions may come, sleep may come, or ahangaram will come, ego will come, and different thought waves will come. In spite of all that, untouched by that, one has to stay quiet. That is what that state. Drishtim dadaprati nivartya nivrta trishna tushnim bhaved. That word. Tushnim bhaved sukham nijanu bhavo. Nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. observing that all the happiness of this world is all false, and able to remain within oneself, that is what it is. Drishtim dada pratinivartya nivritta trishna. Nivritta trishna, no desires inside. Desires should not develop. When desires come, able to pull out of it and able to remain separately from the desires. Not affected by any of them, either by desires, thought waves, or false ego, ahangaram, or by sleep, or by any powerful emotions. All of them will come when you sit quietly somewhere, these things will keep coming back into them. But at that time, able to separate from them and to remain within one's own self. That is what it's called. This process is a direct process of self-realization. Direct process it is. It is, nothing else is required. All you have to do is to withdraw from the body and the mind and be able to sit quietly. But that's the only thing you must find it difficult. This is our situation, is it not? Krishna is saying, don't do anything and able to sit quiet, that is self-realization. And we have convinced ourselves, without doing it, how can you get liberation? You have to do so much to do. You're making so many big projects because of that. So he's saying, Trishtim dada pratinivrtya nivrtta trishna tushnim bhavet nijasukha anubhavo niriha tushnim bhavet. You can see this. Examples are given. Just like, suppose you're traveling in a train and your train has reached a railway platform and it is standing there. Your train is standing there. And in the another side, next to that, on another platform, there is another train parallel to this train standing there. If you keep looking at the other train, and if that train, suppose your train is steady and the other train is moving, started moving, you will start thinking you have started moving. Is it not? It's always common experience, everybody has. And no matter how much you try to convince yourself that you are not moving, you can't get that feeling. You can feel that. You know that you think that you are moving because the other train is moving. The effect of that train, the effect of that train's movement on you is this. Is this. Similarly, everything what is going on in this material world, nothing is happening to us, but the effect is there. This is the example for that. The effect, what is happening from the other, movement of the other train on this train. What can you do at that time? If you want to convince yourself that you are not moving, the only thing is, instead of looking at the other train, you turn your head to this side. Don't look at that train. Then immediately you realize it, the train is not moving, you are steady there. Similarly, what Krishna is saying here is that point. This is an example to make it understand. But actually, material world, we think that it has doing something to us. It's happening to us. Krishna is saying nothing is happening. World is going on its own way, whatever it may be going on there. But the self inside is untouched by any of these things, either by the world or by the thought waves or by the emotions or by the ego. Nothing has any effect on the self inside. But it appears to us as though we are affected by that. Just like when you sit in the train and look at the other train. That's exactly what it is. Drishtim tada, it's a famous words. Drishtim tada pratinivrtya nivrtta trishna tushnim bhavet nijasukha anubhavo niriha. Then sandrishyade kojam edidam avastu buddhya tyaktam bhramayana bhave smriti anipadat. Krishna is saying there, sandrishyade kojam edidam avastu buddhya. Avastubuddhya. That means, when you come to this body, and the mind, and the intelligence, and the ego, everything, and when you are operating through that, everything you are seeing in this world, all objects in this world, you feel some reality in there. And Krishna is saying, Avastubuddhya tyaktam, that you have to know how to break up from that connection with the world. Remember when Krishna started instructions to Uddhava, first thing what did he say? Tandu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandushu. Because it is so deep rooted inside, this is all my family, this is all my friends, and I have strong relationship with them, and I can't break away. We are so deeply convinced ourselves on these things. What Krishna is saying to us, as long as you are convinced yourself in that way, there is no escape. You are stuck in there. break it. He says, there is no other way, you have to break it. And that breaking process, he is giving this example. Drishtim tada pratinivritya nivritta trishna toshnim bhaved sukha nijane bhavo niriha. That if you remain quietly, these thoughts will keep coming, but every moment when the thought comes, you have to learn how to stay out of that thought. And that is direct process, this is. Per pure jnana yogam it is. Directly within yourself, by practice, you have to break up that within, inside. Attachment, ragam, dvesham, everything has to be broken up. Do tushnim bhave nija sukhane bhavo niriha. That is what it is. Samdrishyade kochayati idam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmaya na bhave smriti anipadad. That tyaktam brahmaya, if you give up this vastu buddhi, by in your observation, if it has developed like that, then the brahmam will go. Tektam brahmaya na bhave smriti anipadat. You will get back to your old identity. You will get it back. We have lost it. That's what we are like this now today. We have lost what we have. We have no idea who we are. We are wandering around in this world thinking that we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll find this solution, that solution. Nothing will work, Krishna is saying. Nothing will work. The only choice is, Krishna is saying, drishtim tada prati nivartya nivartya trishna. Take your attention from the world away, move it back into the reality. There is no other way. That's a direct process. Drishtim tada, drishti means our vision. Tada prati nivartya nivartya trishna. Pranayatya means withdrawing our vision from this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, the world, everything. Pranayatya nivritta trishna, and freedom from all the desires as well. And then tushnim bhaved. Tushnim bhaved means to be staying within oneself. Tushnim bhaved. Nija sukhanya bhavo niriha. Then the proper happiness will come from that. So that is why, to stay like that, untouched by anything. Asangam. Remember that word asangam. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. Puna puna cha sa cha janda rupaham. Aham eva ahamayam. That is called yogam. So, many personalities who are intelligent, who have that kind of depth of understanding, when they wake up in the morning, this is the first thing they do. For as long as they can. Not connect with the world straight away. When we wake up, we connect with the world straight away, is it not? When we wake up in the morning, first thing we do, we connect with the world. Straight away we fall into the world. Krishna's point is that once you wake up in the morning, as long as possible, to remain in that state, unaffected by the world and the body and the mind, to know that you are something different than all this, the world, body, mind and everything else. That is the jnana margam. Jnana margam is that. That withdrawing all the time, reminding ourselves that I have nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, the world. Bhakti margam is all the time continuously surrendering everything to Krishna. There's only slight difference there. In bhakti process, you are constantly surrendering to Krishna. Handing over the body, mind, intelligence, everything for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever Krishna wants to do with it, and accepting whatever that comes from that. So only either of these two options we have. Either bhakti or jnanam. Jnanamargam is direct process, but majority of the people would find that very, very difficult. Isn't it? So easier process in that sense is bhakti, but bhakti is also not easier. When you think about the surrender is concerned, when surrender is concerned, you can see what difficulties are there. Ahankaram will not allow to surrender. Ahankaram will not allow. So, in either process, there is a difficulty. But Krishna's point is that surrender means kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakrute svabhaval karodiyadyal sakalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. Not just words alone, but actual life in that way. So, and saying this, at least for some time, without connecting with anything in this world, able to remain quiet in the morning when we wake up. And what is the speciality about that? Why in the morning? Because by then you had enough rest. You have slept enough. So probably you will feel refreshed. You won't feel sleepy again.
Don't feel.
And if you are feeling sleepy, go back to sleep again. Don't wake up. We wake up cursing everybody. Why I have been woken up? I could have... So sleep as much as you like, you sleep. But once you are woken up properly, then stay in this state for as long as possible. And that state, when you wake up in that way, that's not sleeping. There's no thought waves then. It's not meditation. It's not yogam. It's not japam. It's not sadhana. And you're not associating with anything at that time. To none of the emotions even. What comes in the mind, you're not associating with that. You are situated within yourself. Within yourself. That's what that is saying there. Within yourself. So, nor you are engaged in the actions. Karma begins after that. After you have woken up, then one after the other, everything begins in this world. Isn't it? So, so there is two possibility. Either directly one who has got that strength to do it, or who has that deep convictions on the Shastram, who can accept it that way, they should try that process. Other alternative is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrendering to Krishna. So Sharanagati, if you do Sharanagati, what will happen is, Sharanagati will give you the strength to stay quiet. That's the beauty of Sharanagati. If you surrender to Krishna everything, you will get that strength to remain quiet in the self. Remain the self. Because as far as the meditation also, even if you take meditation, even that is a karma. It's an action. Isn't it? So, difference is, meditation is also considered to be an intense action. It is. Intense action. So, for example, you are deeply involved in the meditation, but at the same time, mind is tremendously active at that time, in meditation. In meditation, that's what happens. You are deeply involved, but the mind is still absorbed in the thought waves, isn't it? But when you go into this state of complete abstinence from everything, stopping all activities of the body, mind, everything, then there won't be any action either. You are stopping all the actions of the body and the mind completely. That means initially there will be thought waves, but in due course of time the thought waves also will stop. So if you have left everything, then that is that state of this verse saying. Drishtim tada prati nivrutya nivrutta trishna tushnim bhaved. Tushnim bhaved. Tushnim bhaved means to be able to sit quiet without untouched by anything from this world, body, mind, intelligence, ego. Morning hours is preferred because that's the time that you don't get disturbed a lot from the world, is it not? That world is quiet. And if you have that discipline within yourself to keep the body under quiet and mind also, and able to sit quietly, observe the world, and you will see that there's nothing is affecting the self at that time. So, but the difficulty is, even though it is so simple, we find that difficult. But if somebody says, oh, we have a yoga class going on, Kundalini yoga system, and this, that, and the other, there will be hundreds of people queuing up to register for that. So, for the mind to come to that shanti state, we don't need all that. And spiritually what they say is that it's very, very simple thing. Spiritual life is simple also, in one sense. Lalitam, also saralam. Saralam means simple, and it's lalitam, simple also. Krishna said there, isn't it, that sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. That's where it is coming from. Sitting quiet means not only that don't move the body around, but if you can do that without moving the body around and sit quietly, that's fine. But more important than that, in everything what's happening in life, able to think that I have no involvement, it is Antaryami inside is conducting all the activities. And constant awareness of that inside. Krishna is working through the body. Krishna is deciding where the body has to go, what it has to do. So total dependence on Krishna all the time. That is that Sharanagati state. That never allowing that ahankaram to develop inside. Ahankaram comes means I am doing. And the result must be there. and attachment and aversion toward the action and the results. All that has to go in that state. Only then it is possible. Particularly in the Shastram they say, to be like an instrument in Krishna's hands. To be like an instrument in Krishna's hands. So that mood one who has, that one who doesn't have that mood that I am doing everything, I am the person who is doing that, he is always in a stage of rest. He is in a stage of rest. Vishrandi, they call it. Vishrandi. And that is why Krishna mentions also that this is that state, Krishna says, in that universal form. Nimitta matram bhava savyasa chin. Remember? In the Visharupam. Visharupa darshana yogam, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta matram bhava savyasa chin. He says, this is that state. Nimitta matram bhava savyasa chin. Arjuna, you have to do whatever that is happening through the body. Always remember that you are an instrument doing it. Nimittam you are. Nimittam atram bhava savyasajin. Arjuna is savyasaji. So, if you are able to act like that, nimittam atram bhava savyasajin, just as an instrument in Krishna's hands, that is what he is talking about. But what is the problem in doing that? Problem is that our identification with the Ubadi. That is what that problem is. Ubadi means body, the mind, all these things. We have identification. Therefore, we are unable to do that. And this identification has come because in several lifetimes before, we had this identification. We have practiced it, identifying with the body. Because we practiced identification with the body in several lifetimes, that has followed us in this life also, and it has become like that now. And therefore, this Ubadis won't allow, and because that identification is so powerful, and that has built up that Ahankaram inside, that will not allow us to remain free without doing anything. It is because of the Ubadi, this problem. That suppose we tell someone, stay quiet, don't do anything. We'll sit for 2 minutes and then we'll start doing again, isn't it? At the same time, what will happen? We'll be planning in our head what should be doing next. Suppose somebody tells you to stay quiet, you'll sit for 5 minutes, but during that 5 minutes also, you're planning after 5 minutes what I have to do. This is the nature of that mind. So, Krishna is saying here that this problem has come because of the identification of the Ubadi. Ubadi means body, mind and all that. And this identification has been going for several lifetimes. It has become strongly grounded in that. Therefore, as soon as we are in a body, that bodily identification will always be there. To free oneself from that, Krishna says here, that it will not allow you to freely sit quietly. It won't allow you to do that. It is not allowing you to remain as Atma, as the soul. It's not allowing you to do that. And in the flow of that Ubadi, we are driven. Ubadi is driving us, is it not? We think we are controlling the Ubadi. Actually, Ubadi is controlling us, is it not? If you think that you have control over the body, you have control over the mind, but if you really sit and think about it, body is controlling you, mind is controlling you. You are not controlling the body, you are not controlling the mind. You will notice this every time you are trying to protect your body. Why? Because body wants it. And therefore you are going along with the body. When you get sick, first thing, nobody has to tell you that you will look for a solution to get out of the sickness, isn't it? Even though body, you know very well you are going to lose the body one day. You won't be able to hold on to it. In spite of all that, that body's grip on us is so strong that as soon as you fall sick, body says, where is the medicine? Where is it? Go to the GP, get this, get that. Go to pharmacist, get this, get that. Till he feels satisfied, that body feels satisfied, like a servant we have to run, wherever it has to go, hospital or GP or wherever it is. We are unable to resist that, and we know that we are not this body. This is the unfortunate situation. So that is why Krishna is saying, upadis won't allow you to remain quiet. Upadis won't allow you. If it is not the body, it will be the mind. Is it not? Mind will jump up and say to us that why this has happened like that, why that has happened like that. We have to find a solution for this. All due to that false identity inside. So false identity has its effect, you can see. Whole life we have to play to the body. You have to play for the body. Or conduct your life in this world just to satisfy the interest of the body and the mind. Nothing else. That's our life in this world, isn't it? Always trying to satisfy the body and the mind. And that is that flow of the upadhi. It's called the flow. Upadhi's flow, it is called. Upadhi is flowing its own way. And they are independent from us. Body and the mind are independent of us. And it is going in its own way, and we are driven along with it. Is it not? Is that not true? Is that not what's happening all the time? If you quietly analyze yourself, you can see every day from waking up to right up to going to bed, upadhis are driving you and you are flowing with the upadhi. That's all. Nothing else is happening. So that is why when we say these things, that remain quiet. When Krishna is saying here, drishtim dada pradhani vrityane vrtatrash, tushnim bhavet. Tushnim bhavet means Krishna is saying, sit quiet. Don't do anything. So when we say that, tushnim bhavet, Krishna is saying tushnim bhavet. Tushnim bhavet, sit quiet, he says. People will ask, for that what do I have to do? This is how our mind, if you say to somebody, sit quiet, he says, to sit quiet, what do I have to do for that? So deeply it has gone inside us, upadhi's influence. How upadhi is dictating every moment to us to do something for that. So from this you can understand that there is something seriously wrong with us. Even that we have to acknowledge first. Something seriously wrong with us. Krishna is saying, sit quiet. But he says, no, it's not possible. So Krishna is saying there's something seriously wrong with us, isn't it? So knowledge of the self means what? To remain as you are. What you are? The self. Nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind. So, and that we find it the most difficult, to sit quiet, isn't it? So, in order to do that, it is for this purpose only, to experience that the self, what it is for that purpose self-inquiry, inquiry of the self. Because that is our swarupam, our identity is that, astitvam. And that is present there even in the vacant state, in jagrat state also. But you can see, in the deep sleep state it is there, not doing anything and still being satisfied and happy, in the deep sleep state. But that possibility is there in the vacant state also. And sometimes you can see in the vacant state also, sometimes you do that. You are doing it, but only thing you are not conscious of it at that time. When you are, sometime, rare moments in life, you are sitting quiet and there is nothing happening. Body is not influencing you. Body is not giving you any trouble. Mind is not giving you any trouble. No thought waves. And it is that moment what Krishna is referring to. That there are, but unfortunately, at that time, we fail to recognize that. That moment. It only lasts for a short period of time. It may come and go. So there are these precious moments in our own life which we fail to recognize. Which we fail to recognize. Otherwise we ignore that. We ignore that. So you can see if you are a little bit thoughtful and if you are a little bit alert about all these things, sometimes you feel that bliss inside of the self when you are untouched by the body and the mind. Because at that time only you alone is present. Yourself alone is present. Body is not demanding anything. Mind is not demanding anything. Intelligence is not demanding anything. You are totally free from everything. And there is rare moments in life you get that. But if you are continuously busy in action, then it won't happen. Then it won't happen. So, so that is the reason this society, ajnanam, all these things are there only to strengthen your ahankaram. That's all what it does. If you ask what is the contribution of the society in your spiritual life, the answer to that is, the only thing society does to you, it strengthens your false ego. Nothing else it does to you. And it increases your ajnanam or avidya inside. That means that separate identity, it strengthens strongly. It strengthens that separate identity, which Krishna mentioned here. Atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam brahman. It's a famous statement in the Bhagavadam. Great, great personalities who have completely churned Ekadasha skandam and they have drunk this knowledge in the Bhagavadam, in this Ekadasha skandam. These verses will come from them so freely. Atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam brahman. That you won't get this anywhere except from Krishna. Only Krishna has, that's why I was saying, that even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has not spoken so bluntly and straightforward. Here, there is no mixing with anything. Straightforward the knowledge. Who else will tell us in the world that this is the truth? And you can see this. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has made some compromise without saying things so straightforward. But with Uddhava, absolutely no question of any kind of adjustment. Perfect truth spoken perfectly and very straightforward. Atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam brahmam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, as long as vikalpam is there, you can forget it. It's not going to happen. So society, what it does to us is, it creates this falsity in us and strengthens our ego. It increases our ajnanam or avidya inside. And that is misery. That is misery. And we are not even able to recognize that. That is the worst part of it. The distress that it is bringing to us. We are not able to accept that. We are still thinking society is valuable. Society is all useless at the end. It's not going to help us. When, as far as the spiritual reality is concerned, spiritual life is concerned, spiritual advancement is concerned, society is all useless. This is the difference in the Sanatana Dharma. Krishna is saying to each individual, Krishna is not telling us you belong to this community, this society, this country, that country, nothing. Krishna is saying to the individual, if you want to come out from this ignorant state and to come back to your spiritual identity, you have to forget about the society. Society can't do anything about it. So, because society strengthens this ego, if you want to deal and have the vyavaharam in this world, vyavaharam can only work with ego. Ahangaram has to build up. One false ego deals with another false ego. That's vyavaharam, isn't it? So therefore, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, the same thing, that this ahangaram, Vasishtha says to him, ahangaram is the whole problem, he said. Ahangara vashad avad. All problems comes from ahangaram. Ahangaral duradeha. From ahangaram comes all kind of desires and problems, which comes from that. Ahangara vashad iha. Ahangaram alone is the cause of everything. Na ahangaral paroribuhu. Except ahangaram, there is no other enemy in this world for all of us. Our own ahangaram. Our own ego or ahangaram is the only enemy what we have in this world. There is no other enemy. We think so many others are our enemy. Other people, it is that falsity that drive people into wars and all other situations in this world. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, ahangara vashad avad ahangara duradeha ahangara vashad iha na ahangara paroribuhu. Without ahangaram, there is no other enemy in this world. So, he says that I have found out the virus, he says, of the of this disease called material existence. Material existence is purely due to this ahangaram, false ego. And that is a virus. Just like we say in the computer, there's a virus inside, and similarly. So, for all diseases, the virus what you are looking for, it is this, it says here, Ramachandra says here that I found out that virus, he says. I found out the virus. What is that virus? Virus is this ahangaram. Ahangaram is that virus. Suppose it is gone, then you have escaped, but it won't go. The problem with this thing is, ahankaram is, even if you cut it off for some time, it will pop up again. It won't go away. Similarly, if you cut the... sometimes you can see big, big trees. You have seen the people who, they, from the council, they come and cut the big trees on the roads sometimes, isn't it? Or some trees they find that that's going to cause some problem. So they'll come and they'll cut the tree part by part, and they'll bring it right up to the root. They'll cut and they will make it into small branches, leaves, everything, load it into their truck and they'll go. And you think that tree is finished, isn't it? Give them a few weeks' time, suddenly it will come out again. You can see this on the roadside all the time. Many, many times you'll know. Big, big trees, they cut it off. They think they've finished the tree, they've gone, tree hasn't done. It hasn't gone. Ahankaram is like that. You think that you've got rid of that. Maybe you attended some course or seminar or something like that, got the certificate and all that. That my false ego is all gone now. So I got the certificate. So the very next day, you will see that same thing comes back again. That becomes an ahankaram itself. Which one? That I have no false ego. That itself becomes an ahankaram there. That is the type of this thing, disease called this ahankaram. Ahankaram's nature is like that. You think that you have thrown it away, but it hasn't gone. It's there inside still. In some form, it's present there. That is what he is saying here. Ahankara duradeham. So, the moment you get a little recognition from this world, it will pop up again. A little recognition from the world is sufficient, it will pop up again. This ahankaram. That's the nature of this ahankaram. That's the nature of this ahankaram. That's why, remember, we were discussing that. Asammana tapo vriddhihi, sammana tapo kshayaha. That means, if you don't get any recognition in this world, always gets insulted, criticized and offended, in that way if you live in this world, tapo vriddhihi, your tapasya will get better. Means, ahankaram will go away. Sammana tapo kshayaha. If you get sammana means recognition or praise or glory in this world, tapasya will go. Tapas will go. That means ahankara will grow. If the tapas grows, ahankara will go down. If tapas goes away, tapas goes away, ahankara will come up. If tapas comes down, then ahankara will increase. This is that relationship between tapas and ahankara. So there he says that this ahankara is called a vishavruksham. Vishavruksham means a poisonous tree compared to a tree itself. And that is a very root cause of all our distress in this world. Duradayaha, all the distress in this world. And it is from that ahankaram comes these problems. What the bhikshu has spoken. What was that? Miserliness, greed, then malsaryam, competition with others. Then of course the other things, lust, anger, greed. They are all coming from this one person inside all of us, which is called ahankara. That is the base of everything, or pettiness. So you'll see this in Harinama Kirtanam and many other prayers addressing Krishna to take this ahankara away from inside. There is no other choice. Only with Krishna's grace that is going to happen. So, so this I am, this identity, awareness of this ego, it's not there in the Sushupti. You notice that. In Sushupti it's not there. Ahankaram is not there. That's the only state where ahankaram is not present. Or ahankaram is not present. So, in vacant state, you already have it. And in vacant state, now let's understand this. When you go into the deep sleep state, ahankaram is gone. Right? Ahankaram is gone. You know that. Ahankaram is not there. You're not thinking anymore in terms of me, mine, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam is not there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer goes away. And Ragadvesham goes away. Then no identification with the body, mind, intelligence and even ego. I, the person, is not there anymore in the deep sleep state. When you come to the vacant state, what happens? Everything comes back. So, Harinama Girtanam says there in a different way. What they're saying is that first of all, this identity as me, I am, it should not be there. And if it does happen, if it comes, because it happens in the vacant state, I have to get, instead of that identification, I want that this identification in such a way that everything in this world is me. What Sukadeva Goswami said, that same realization. In the deep sleep state when you go, you are experiencing no ahankaram at that time. Is it not? We don't experience any ahankaram in the deep sleep state. But once you come to vacant state, ahankaram is coming back. That's our problem, isn't it? Ahankaram comes back. Ego comes back. So Harinama Girtanam says there that what has happened in the deep sleep state, if that is not possible in the vacant state, give me this realization that everything what I see is me. That is another side to it. Because then there is no ahankaram there. If you are realizing yourself present in all the other living entities, you see, then ahankaram is gone. That is what Sukadeva Goswami said there. Sarvabhuta hridayam muni mana tosmi. Sarvabhuta hridayam. In I am the same me who is present in everyone, then there won't be any ahankaram there. So this is the alternative to that. For example, samadhi state. Samadhi state, what is the symptom there? In samadhi, for example, what is happening in samadhi state? Nirvikalpa samadhi, they call it. Nirvikalpa samadhi. You are not sleeping at that time, but you have no thought waves, and you are in shanti state. Isn't it? And that means, ahankaram has no movement inside at that point. There is no movement for the ahankaram inside. Then what is happening there? That stillness inside. There is no mind operating, there is no thought waves, and there is no movement of the ego, ahankaram is not operating, and there is a stillness inside, and that is called samadhi. And if in the, that is samadhi state, but in the vacant state, if it comes back, ahankaram comes back, you have to ask that question, who is experiencing this ahankaram? Who is having this ahankaram? I'm thinking that I am. I'm thinking, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go here, I have to go there. Ahankaram has come back. And in all vyavaharam, you will see ahankaram is there. All vyavaharam, there will be ahankaram. And somebody praises you, you get affected. Somebody criticizes you, you get affected by that. And if somebody has spoken to you rudely, then you feel, whom did he, if somebody has spoken, you will start saying, oh, he has spoken about me, and you start feeling that very strongly. So at that time you have to ask the question, who is that feeling this? Who is that person who is feeling this? So that time you will see the movement of that ahankaram. That's what you are seeing there. See, the ahankaram was not very vibrant earlier. But when somebody has criticized you or spoke to you rudely, immediately ahankaram wakes up inside and says that he has spoken about me, he criticized me, he annoyed me, he abused me, various things. That means the movement of the ahankaram inside. And what is the nature of that ahankaram? That if you inquire about that, you will see that ahankaram has born from the heart at that time, from the self. And it will go and dissolve itself. Only thing you have to ask that question. Don't expect any answer. But if you ask that question at that time, when you are completely disturbed, you have to ask that question, who is getting disturbed? And that time you will see that ahankaram goes and dissolves itself inside. And and it won't last for very long. And that attention has to fall there. Instead of going along with the anger, And with the emotion, instead you are asking this question, who is experiencing that emotion? So only thing is, if your attention falls on that, in that case, the ahankaram will go and dissolve itself in the self. It will go and dissolve itself. Then what is left there then? When the ahankaram has gone away, then you are practically back into your own undisturbed state of the self. Undisturbed state of the self. And that Krishna is saying is your swarupam. Is your Atma Swarupam or Bhagavad Swarupam, whichever way you call it, that is your Swarupam, Krishna is saying. When there is no Ahankaram present inside, this is the direct process. But in order to get to that state through self-inquiry process, you have to have a favorable situation for that. You have a favorable situation. And more than anything else, for that, what is necessary is vairagyam. Through self-inquiry, this direct process, if it has to happen, it requires a very favorable environment. And that favorable environment for that is vairagyam. See what happened to Bhikshu? Bhikshu's self-inquiry didn't last very long. Did you notice that? He didn't have to do it for a long time. We are doing it for a long time, but it's not happening still. For Bhikshu, it happened in a split second. The whole thing happened. When all the money was gone, and the whole life turned upside down, in 1 second, the whole scene changed. Krishna has shown that compassion to him. And the effect of that vairagyam is, he got situated in the self. In the self. So, you can see the problem. So it does not actually, in reality, it doesn't require a lot of time. But because we don't have sufficient vairagyam inside, that is why on the one side if you are developing material attachment, on the other side if you inquire, do self-inquiry, it won't work. The pre-qualification or prerequisite for the self-inquiry is vairagyam. If there is no vairagyam, this process won't work. This process won't work if there is no vairagyam. That is why you will see those who have come to Jnanamargam, first thing they will take to vairagyam more than anything else. I mentioned before that Bhartrahari is Vairagya Shatakam and all that. Books is based on this understanding that vairagyam is the key for advancing in spiritual path. So those who have that, Krishna is saying here that, our ego now at this point in time, it's gone and stuck in so many different places, is it not? Ego of the self is situated in our money, our family, our society, our this, our that, job, our success, our failures, in so many places, our ego is distributed in so many places. Tad vadhat praninam vadhat, Kapila Maharshi says this in the Bhagavatam. So, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Maharshi says there, wherever your abhimanam is distributed, smash them all, wherever it is there. You smash it down first. And then it will become very auspicious. Because abhimanam, this ego or ahankaram is such a thing, we don't even know where is it all placed. It's placed in so many different places. Suppose you have a very healthy body, you will have an ego based on the body. Suppose you have a lot of money, your ego will be there in that wealth. Suppose you have a lot of name and fame, your ego will be present in that. Suppose you have a nice family life, your ego will be there. So, it is so difficult to identify where the ego has gone and taken its place in so many different locations. So, Bhagavatam is saying, Kapila Maharshi is saying there, you have to identify all the places where the ego is there and it has to be smashed down first. To smash that ego down. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there yesterday also we talked about that, in the third canto, that if you look in that chapter, 30th chapter, mentions there, Kapila Maharshi says this, yam yamartham upadathe dukhena sukhahetavaha tam dam dhunodi bhagavan puman shochati yalkrute. Kapilamahrishi is saying, yam yamartham upadathe dukhena sukhahetave tam dam dhunodi bhagavan puman shochati yalkrute. Wherever ahankaram has gone and established itself, our ahankaram, as I said, in so many different places, for everybody it is there, either in the healthy body, or sometimes you can see, suppose somebody is intelligent, very intelligent, he will have that ego ahankaram there, in that intelligence. A man who has got a lot of wealth, he will have that ego ahankaram there, in that wealth. You can't wipe it out, it is there. Suppose a person is very beautiful, his ahankaram will be there in that beauty. So where all this ahankaram has gone and established itself, it's very difficult to know. What Kapila Maharishi is saying there is, Krishna will smash one after the other when he wants to take him as a devotee. Before he accepts him as a devotee, what he will do? Tam tam dhunodi bhagavan. He will keep smashing all those things. Puman shochadi yal krute. When that happens, he will cry. He will cry. He will make him cry. Krishna will make that person cry. Because, and if he is crying, it means that ahankaram has come down a bit. So, and Krishna won't give you anything so that the ahankaram won't build up again. Krishna is not a very nice person, isn't he? And some people are saying, when a lot of money is coming, see how Krishna is pleased with me. I don't think it's a good sign. It's not a very good thing. From the spiritual point of view, it's not a good thing. Because you will feel shelter in that money, shelter in that wealth. You won't feel shelter in Krishna. That is why Kapila Maharishi says this, that yam artham upadate dukhena sukhahetave. All what is happening in life, which is bringing happiness and distress, that's what it all does, isn't it? Whether it's beauty, whether it's knowledge, anything can be a cause for ahankaram. Knowledge can be a cause for ahankaram, is it not? If you are very learned, you feel ego from that. If you have beauty, you'll feel ego from that. If you have a lot of wealth, you'll feel ego from that. If you have a lot of strength in the body, you'll feel ego from that. Sometimes we will see young men who have gone to the gym and worked very hard, and all their muscles and all here, and the way they walk. Look at my body. That's what they want you to look at their body and show to the world. Men as well as women, both. Nobody is exception to that. Both are doing that, is it not? And they run and do all kinds of austerities. Why? Ahankaram is working. Strong ego inside. That's behind it. Otherwise, intelligent person will think, this body is going to go one day. What's the point in wasting time about it too much? Let me patch up something and keep it going somehow. No. But ahankaram won't allow you to do that. So, you can see where ahankaram goes in different people. If he is a big sportsman, he'll always be feeling that, I'm a big sportsman. Musician, he'll feel I'm a big musician. And similarly, everything, whether it is, no matter who it is, a film star or whoever it is, who are dressed up and people are all adoring him in the Facebook and everywhere, how beautiful you are, this, that and the other. So, all film stars, they feel that they have their own fans and all. What does the fans do? Builds up the ahankaram in the celebrity, isn't it? His ahankaram is built up strongly by the fans. Fans and fans association. And he has to keep up that image in front of the fans all the time. He may be 80 years old, but he'll be dressed up like a 30-year-old man. And he'll be walking around with all artificial hair and artificial makeup, everything. Just wander around in this ahankaram. That's what he's saying here. Yam yam artham upadate dukhena sukhahetave tam tam dunodhi bhagavan puman shochati yalkrute. Puman shochati yalkrute. Till he cries, Krishna will smash his ahankaram. Smash his ahankaram. And when that happens, that is Krishna's mercy. So, Krishna is saying it. So, from there you can understand, Krishna is not a very nice person. Don't get this misunderstanding, oh, he's a very friend of mine, very nice there. He's in the temple, he's your good friend. And Krishna says there, in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, I am your best friend and all. That's all nice, but he is not very good when it comes to all these things. He's not a very good friend. He will smash the ego to such an extent and he can really make us a destitute in the street before he gives some, shows some mercy and compassion to us. So in the that nature of Krishna, that's very difficult for us to understand. We are thinking that, oh, I've done so much for you, you should be pleased with me, what I've done for you, don't forget me and all that. Krishna will show no mercy at that time. In Sri Rudram prayers, you will see there that there is, when Krishna gets upset with somebody, the Sri Rudram says that my obeisances to your anger, Krishna's anger. My obeisances to Krishna's anger. That's how it is spoken there. So, because when Krishna gets upset, what does he do? Whatever we are holding on to it in this world as ours and very dear to us, he will come and pull it out from you, everything. Suppose you had good health, he'll take your health away first. Make your life so miserable, then you will start opening your eyes and thinking. And that is what in that prayers, in Sri Rudram prayers you will see this, that whatever you are holding yourself as very dear to you, he will take that away from you. If it is health, he will take your health away. If it is wealth, he will take the wealth away, like he did with Prabhupada. Krishna took away everything and made so difficult life, is it not? And many, many other great devotees had all had to go through this. So, same thing in the Bhagavatam you will notice. Mahabali was at the peak of its glory, isn't it? All the three planetary systems were under his control. And Krishna says, you had enough now. And it has gone into his head, Mahabali's head. So Krishna, what did he do? In the form of Vamana Murti, took away everything from Mahabali. So it is at that time, all Lord Brahma and all the other demigods came to see Mahabali. And they said to, they are saying to Vamana Murti, why you are giving trouble to Mahabali like this? Seeing Mahabali's situation. Mahabali had so much wealth. Mahabali walked into the heavenly planets, Indra and others ran away from there, handing over the heavenly planets to him. And they were asking Brihaspati, where did Mahabali get this strength from? Brihaspati says to them, you know what Mahabali has done? Mahabali has done such a wonderful thing to please Shukracharya. And by Shukracharya's mercy alone, he will get everything what he wants now. So many sacrifices they perform, Ashwamedham. And result of all that, Mahabali has acquired, evam viprabalo darka, that the strength of this spiritual master, Shukracharya's strength, he has handed over to Mahabali. And therefore nobody can stop Mahabali now. That is why he told, when Mahabali left and went to the heavenly planets, Shukracharya told him, you may not have to even fight there when you go there. Indra won't even put up a fight. Before he left and went there, he says, Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara. In the Bhagavatam says, Prahlada came up and Prahlada put his hand on Mahabali, grandson, isn't it? Put the hands on the grandson and told him, Vijayi Bhava, become successful. If Prahlada puts his hand, means what? Narasimhamurti's blessings. Is it not? So as powerful as Narasimhamurti is Prahlada, if Prahlada says something, it has to come true. So he got the mercy from Prahlada in that way. Amlana pushpam jalajam ja shukraha, Bhagavatam says. Then he goes and pays his obeisances to Shukracharya. Shukracharya had a garland on his neck. He took it out and put it on Mahabali. Now you go. You may not have to even fight, he said. When Mahabali walked into the heavenly planets, all the demigods felt as a huge powerful wave is coming and a powerful army is coming, we won't be able to fight. They themselves started feeling that and they ran away from there, from the heavenly planets, handing over everything to Mahabali. Mahabali took control of the heavenly planets, higher planets, lower planets, everything under Mahabali's control. When that ego built up strongly, Krishna took the Vamanamurti's form and came there. Krishna says, it is at that time, Krishna through these three steps, he pulled back everything into, and Mahabali became penniless, isn't it? He had nothing. Shukracharya told him, you won't have even your evening meal, there is no money, no food for you, even in the evening. But Mahabali stuck to his words to Krishna.
And he says, so it was at that time Brahma and the other devadas, demigods who were present there, they told them, Vamanamurti, why you put him into this situation? One who has been controlling all the three planetary systems. Krishna says to him, this is good for him. It is good for him, he says, because he will come to his senses only if I take away everything from him. Only I'll take him. So, and only for his benefit, I'm doing this. Because, so, this symptom of ego going away, one's ego going away, the symptom of is that everything losing. All what we are losing is a symptom of ego going away. All you are building up is a symptom of ego building up. Ego gets more powerful when more things are coming to us. So, wherever attachment was there, everything was given up. Mahabali had to give all the attachment to the heavenly planets, to the earthly planet and all the lower planets. Everything was taken away. So, wherever he had asakti means attachment, or ahankaram, pride and ego, or his selfishness, wherever it was present there, everything was taken out by Vamanamurti. And that is what, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says in the 18th chapter. If you look into this 18th chapter, we discussed that verse before. That state, what he is talking about, what Krishna is talking about. Look at verse number 49.
Asaktam buddhi sarvatra jitalpadika daspraha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyesanadhi gachadi.
This is that state, Mahabali state. Asaktas buddhi sarvatra. Asaktam buddhi sarvatra. Everywhere asaktam. No attachment anywhere. See there? One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Asaktam buddhi sarvatra jitalpa vigadaspraha naishkarma siddhim paramam. That is called naishkarma siddhi, that state. Sanyesenadhi gachadi, that is sannyasam. So, that is what this is. This state, vairagyam, what it does to us. We don't understand vairagyam. We are thinking vairagyam means, so I given up one evening meal. That's my greatest austerity. Or, I fasted on the Ekadashi day instead of taking grains. I had a feast of all other things. My vairagyam finishes there. Is it not? So this is the kind of vairagyam what we are thinking about. That's not vairagyam Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, asakta buddhi sarvatra. Vairagyam, especially in relationship with family, society, money, home, where these attachments are very deep, that is where difficult to break. To give up a little one meal in a day, on Ekadashi day, instead of fasting from grains and beans, and that is not a big vairagyam. That is necessary to come some discipline on the body. But proper vairagyam is when there is such a strong disconnection from the body, from all that bodily extensions, like wife, children, all of them. If they go one day, they'll go. That's it. And to be prepared for that all the time, that's vairagyam. That's vairagyam. Even while living with them, not affected by that. That's what he's saying. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspraha naishkarma siddhim paramam. That naishkarma siddhi. Sanyesenadhi yachadi. So, we'll discuss it after a few minutes then.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakai idava chandriya vidaranam midhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam mridivada purnamridaswadhanam sarvatna svabhanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namyamagari bahuda nija sarvashakti tatrapidane midasmarane nakala ഏദാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനി നാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരവീഷുനീ ചൈന തരോരവി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി മഥനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഹിത്വയി അയി നന്ദനനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാം ഹം ഷമേ ഭവാം ബുധോ കൃപയാതവപാദപങ്കജസിതൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാ നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയാ വലനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകേർന്നുചിതം കലാവബോധവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി ഇതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവരഹേ നമേ അശ്ലിഷ്യവാ പാദരതാം വിനിഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതഥാ വാ വിദദാ ദുലംബടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തുനയേവനാപരാ.
So that verse is a very interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying there, why it's interesting? Asaktam buddhi sarvatra, asakta buddhi sarvatra, jidalma vigadas praha, nashkarma siddhim paramam sanyesenadi gacchadi. That's that verse. So Krishna is saying asaktam buddhi sarvatra, asakta buddhi, that means no attachment anywhere. No asakti anywhere, asakta buddhi. So it is enough if we break the connection inside. It's not necessary you have to break it outside. When we're talking about this attachment to the world, friends, family, society, money and health, body, whatever it is, wherever there is ahankaram is holding us strongly, attachment, it is enough if we break it inside. But majority of the people, it will be difficult for them to do that inside. Inside it is very difficult to break it. Therefore, it becomes necessary that externally it has to be broken. You understand that? That, so I can't, you can say this, oh I broke, left everything. All attachment, that's not good enough. That you will see when a crisis comes in life, how strong the attachment is. That is the way to test that. When material life, when you are pushed, and then you will see suddenly how strong that attachment is coming back. That means, if you say that, oh, I have left everything, I have no attachment anywhere, that's not a proper statement. It's a false thing. But some people, they are able to leave everything, that attachment inside, even right in the middle of everything. They will remain at home, they will remain in family life, in the society, but inside there is no connection anywhere. Totally broken inside due to knowledge, due to realization. But many people, it is not possible for them to do that. In such cases, they have to break it externally, outside. It has to be broken. So, this Bhikshu story now, in Bhikshu Gita, is a great Brahmana he was, a lot of wealth, and a lot of intelligence also. And what happened? He had good intelligence, otherwise he wouldn't have been making so much money either. Something was in his head working. Brahmana's brain was working. But only thing, it went in the wrong way. Instead of going towards for spiritual realization, it went towards money making. That's all what happened. So, and the result was that he started building up ego because of that. Ahankaram, that abhimanam inside. And became selfish due to that. Swarthata built up inside. And the life became a misery. This is what happened to him. Is it not? In our Brahmana's case, Bhikshu's case, what happened was, he had a good birth, good training, good intelligence, everything. But all used for a wrong purpose. To make money. And when he started making money and seeing the success coming from that, he started building up the ego inside. Ego became very high. And due to the strength of that ego, he became also very selfish due to that. That's all the centered around that ahankaram, all these things happening. And finally the result was, the life became a total misery. So in that situation, Krishna understood that in order that he has to be reformed, the only thing is that little by little, first thing, the money left. Money left. All the money gone, one after the everything was gone. And you have to remember that there is nothing in this. Lakshmi Devi will never stay. Wherever it is, you will see it is true with even big countries, big wealthy people. They will have money sometime, in the one few generations, and the money will go after that. They become poor afterwards. They won't have the same. Lakshmi never stays anywhere. So, the Lakshmi Devi's definition itself is Toya Taranga Bhanga Chapala. In the Maharashmi, when she is glorified, Ajari Samaji mentions there, Lakshmi Toya Taranga Bhanga Chapala. She is like this, that in the water you have the bubbles. In the similarly, she will stay there for some time and then the bubble will break. Lakshmi is like that. Lakshmi's nature is like that. Vidyus chalam jivitam. Life is also like that. For a short period of time it will stay and it will break. So, you can see that the nature of the life. Probably you will remember the days you went to school and now you look at yourself where you are. It's not long ago that you were going to school, 40, 50 years ago. Now the life is almost finishing, isn't it? It's coming to an end. Sooner or later, it's coming to an end. But something inside, I won't die, it will be alright. It will remain like this. It's not going to remain like this. So, before you know, the life is over. Only a few years ago you were going to school, you were playing with the other children and you are doing so many other things. But now, for a short period of time, life changed, became a householder, family. Now everything is over, you're leaving the world, going away from here. So Bhartrihari mentions that. Bhartrihari puts it very nicely in the Vairagya Shatakam. What does he say? He says there, Kalona Yataha Vayameva Yataha. Time is not moving, he says. It Vayameva Yataha. Your age is going away. Your body is going away. Vayameva Yataha. Kale na yataha. Kalo na yadaha, vayameva yadaha. Time is, we are saying, time is running very fast. And so I am here forever. Actually, time is not running. Time is as it is. It's staying there. Vayameva yadaha. I am on my way out. Not the time. I am on my way out. Vayameva yadaha. So, we are going, not the time. Similarly, he says, tapona taptaha, vayameva taptaha. Tabona taptaha. Whatever tapasya, austerities you have performed yourself, tapasya what it is called, lot of tapasya you have done in life, sort of austerities, isn't it? Lot of burning happened in life, miseries has come, you have experienced all that. But, tapena taptaha, but what he says here, that tabona taptaha, vayameva taptaha. But tapasya, you have not been burned enough. What actually happened is, vayameva taptaha. Your body got experienced all that. But time has not gone, I am gone. Then Krishna is, and what happened? Krishnaha jirnam. I am very old now, he says. Very old, 90 years. But vayameva jirnaha. He says, Krishnaha jirnaha. Desires is concerned, it's not weakened anymore. It is still there as it is. But vayameva jirnaha, only I am getting destroyed. Desires are not getting destroyed. None of the desires have gone away. Bhartrihari says that. So, Trishna ka tarunayate. As far as desire is concerned, if you make it as a person, the desires in a personified way, if you look at it, she is still 16 years old, as the desire is concerned. But vayameva jirnaha, but body, my body has become old, but she is still young. So, our brahmana, his bhikshu, all his wealth has gone. All his wealth has gone. And when he had lot of wealth in him, in his hands, he didn't do anything for anybody. No good things done in this world. Stored up and built it up in the millions and millions in the bank. And when that money was taken away, normally when you are suddenly taken out everything from you, you will see what happens, isn't it? Whatever little we have in this world, if it's overnight taken out from the hand, we'll struggle very much. And for some people, it will become a blessing. For some people, it will become a blessing. Because to get that state that when everything is lost, when everything is lost, somehow or the other, in his case, some sense started working from inside. Common sense, you can call it vivekam, in other words. And that vivekam was not there before, when he was making money. It didn't work, come out from inside. Only when this incident happened, overnight he lost everything. He lost everything. And then this sense, he came to his senses, in other words. Vivekam started working inside. Sometimes you can see in this world, if you observe carefully, and when they had everything with them, all the wealth they had with them, they were not happy. But when they lost everything, when they lost everything, due to Krishna's grace, you can see that they have received the mercy. Krishna's mercy, they have received. And that is that shanti, what you see in them at that time. You will see them particularly very peaceful and totally satisfied in life. A very, very deep inside, a very deep realization, in a high, deeper level, about the nature of this world comes to them. That happens. In rare cases, it happens. Majority of the cases, when we lose it, we lament about it, oh, everything is gone, what am I supposed to do? But it does happen very often to many people. And few cases, by Krishna's grace, they realize it. And they come to understand that this is all false things I was holding on to. That deep understanding inside wakes up inside from within. They get that, and that comes from the Antaryami. That is Krishna's mercy. At that time you realize it, even though I have lost everything, actually I have gained something much more valuable than what I have lost. What I have lost. It's something difficult to explain that. One has to go through that. Only then one will understand that. If you have held on to something very dear to you, very closely, and suddenly Krishna takes it out of your hand, completely, and you are totally helpless about it, and then you start opening your eyes and start thinking that this was the right thing to happen for me. Because when you have lost it, you have started getting some peace inside. All that thing what you are thinking as yours and mine and all that has only given you trouble throughout life. But you are feeling some false happiness from that. But Krishna has decided to break that and take it away, and immediately you will see that what a grace Krishna has shown to us. Mercy has shown to us. So, in the many, many great devotees' case, this is the history. This is the history of many of the great devotees. And like example here, in the Melpathur wrote Narayaniyam, he went to the temple. What happened? At the age of 27, he got this arthritis and the whole body became completely decrepit. He couldn't do anything. So the family abandoned him. Nobody could look after him. There was nobody interested in look after. So one brother said, I'll take you to the temple and leave him in Gurudev temple and go. That's all he could do. They left that and left. And then after he compiled Narayaniyam and he had Krishna's darshanam, and when he was completely cured from his illness, he writes a song in which he is saying, he is thanking all the diseases what has affected him. He roga nani yuyam eva sukhradaha. He says, you are my friends. He is telling all the diseases what came to his body. At the age of 27 he had that, and he suffered for about a couple of years with that. And then when the disease was cured, he got his health back. He is saying that all these diseases, they have all their personal forms. And he is saying to them that you are all my friends. Because if you had not done this to me, what would have happened in my life? He is saying there. So, because only that illness turned his mind towards Krishna. If he hasn't got sick, he says, I would not have come to see you at the temple or engaging in spiritual activity. Instead, he was a very, very learned scholar. So in those days, what used to happen was, the kings used to maintain a lot of scholars in their court
for debating Shastram. And he would have gone in that direction. He knew that. He would have gone in that direction. It was obvious from his record that his knowledge, his education, everything was such that Tarkam, Vyakaranam, Shastram, Upanishads, everything was, he had studied it such depth, and he had good teachers, and he had good knowledge of them. So normally in that situation, he would have gone into some court of some famous king, and they would have honored him. There were so many kings in those days who maintained huge, big court, and scholars were honored and maintained by them. So that would have been his position, which means that the honor, kings will give them various gifts to recognize their scholarship and live a comfortable life in that way. I would never have turned towards Krishna, he said. But when I got this sickness, all my life was changed. So therefore, if you had not come and caught me, he says to the diseases, all of them, I would not have gone in this direction in spiritual life. So this you will see everywhere. This is the experience of the devotees. Look at Bhagavatam. What happened? Our Kubera's sons, Nalakubera and Manigriva. If you look there, Narada Maharshi is saying here, that Narada Maharshi cursed them, is it not, to become the two trees, as Arjuna trees, they're called. Nalakubera and Manigriva has to stand as two trees for 100 years, to stay like that. Narada Maharshi says there, these two, he says, about Nalakubera and Manigriva, both of them, due to wealth, that ego, ahankaram inside, because of the wealth, they were so wealthy, because of being the children of Kubera. And for them, there is only one medicine, he said. When that ahankaram becomes strong, there's only one medicine. What is that? Daridriyam paramanjanam. Daridriyam. Poverty is the medicine. Look at the words, what he says here. That in the 10th canto, in the 10th chapter, this story comes. Narada Maharshi says to Nalakubera and Manigriva that the Daridriyam paramanjanam, the only remedy, medicine for your problem is this poverty. Because wealth is the whole thing behind it. Is it not? So, what? Look at the Narada Maharshi's words. He says there that asataha means asata. Asata means, you know what asata means? Asata means, as I mentioned before, among the learned circles, if they want to swear at somebody, this is the word they used, asata. We have much better words, isn't it? But among the learned people, traditionally, in the Shastram learned people, when they get angry, and if they want to abuse someone, they'll use this word asata. Asata means, it's not the way we abuse, not that words. What this asata means, that one who is holding on to illusion, which is not real. Sat is the real thing. Krishna uses the word also, is it not? Yeah. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. That's where it is coming from. So, one who has no realization of the sat, he is asata. Material nature is asata. Prakriti is asata. Body is asata. Mind is asata. Intelligence is asata. Ego is all asata. Everything is asata. One who identifies with any of these things is called asata. So, Narada Maharshi uses the word asataha. Both of you are asata. Narada Maharshi is a sage, isn't it? So, naturally his language will be like that. Asataha, why? Shrimadhandasya. Because of that, madam. Madam means the hangaram inside. And due to that, become blind. Why? Because of Shri, because of wealth. Kubera's children. Asataha Shrimadhandasya. And what is the remedy for that? Daridriyam paramanjanam. Only remedy is make them poor. Rishis are like that. They know what is the real medicine for that illness. Asataha Shrimadhandasya Daridriyam paramanjanam. Daridriyam is the poverty. Only if you expose them to poverty, then they will realize what is the mistake they had made. Alpa ubhamyena bhudani daridra parameshade. Because they can't see things properly when there is so much wealth. They can't see this world properly. They can't relate with others properly. That ego inside, ahankaram inside with the wealth, it turned into offending Sri Narada Maharshi. When Narada Maharshi came there, he was busy with playing in the water with other apsaras women and all who were present there. And he was completely drunk, these two, Nalakavera and Manigriva, totally drunk and enjoying in the water with all the women. And they were naked as well. And when Narada Maharshi came, they didn't even cover their body and went and fell on Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi's situation, imagine that. He says there, Asada Shri Madhandasya Daridryam Paramanjanam Alpa Obamena Bhudani Daridryam Paramikshade. You cannot open their eyes by any preaching. Preaching won't work. Telling them anything, any honesty, any good advice, nothing will help. No advice will help. No preaching will help. The only thing you have to do, you have to take it out from them. What is causing the problem? Problem is the wealth. That's what is the problem was. So take it away from there. Made them into two trees and told them to stand there. Told them to stand there. So, though he says there, this poverty, poor situation, poverty-stricken state, that it is a good thing to open your eyes. What do they say to put in the eyes? Kajal, yeah. That's what you use it for, the eyes to open. Similarly, this is the kajal for that. Which one? Poverty. Poverty is the kajal to make you see things properly, he says there. So, and only if that happens, you will understand that. He says to Nalakavera and Manigriva. And after that, saying this, Narada cursed them. Narada Maharshi cursed them. Sri Narada Maharshi is cursing after saying this to them. To who? To Nalakavera and Manigriva. So similarly, both of them were cursed in that way. Similarly, here, this Brahmana also, there was no other way to bring him to his senses. Like Sri Narada Maharshi did to Nalakavera and Manigriva, it was necessary here in Brahmana's case. Brahmana is not willing to listen to anybody, and Krishna realized Antaryami knows everything. Inside Brahmana also there is Antaryami. So that Antaryami is feeling this, that this Brahmana is not, Ahankaram has built up so strongly inside, the only way was to give a strong kick. There's nothing else he could do. So Antaryami decided that let this happen in this way. And that is why everything went totally opposite way for Brahmana. He lost everything. He lost everything. So, there you can see that when everything has gone, some people will say, poverty state is not a very good situation in life. Is it not? It's not a very good situation. You have become very extremely poor. For example, you will see there is a stotram Ajari Swamiji wrote called Kanakadhara Stotram. It is called a glorification. What has happened was that he went to a Brahmana family who were asking for bhiksha. He was a brahmachari at that time. When he went to ask for bhiksha, that Brahmana family was very, very poor, extremely poor. They were living by a process called Kapota Vritti, Uncha Vritti, Shiloncha Vritti. There are various ways Brahmanas used to live in the past. What you have to remember is that Brahmanas were never rich in the world. They were always poor. That is the system, and that was their strength. They always remained poor. Acquiring wealth was never in their mind any time. Nowadays it's different. The modern Brahmanas completely changed. There is a reason behind that, why that has happened. So, for them, for the Brahmanas, the livelihood was Uncha Vritti, Kapota Vritti, Shiloncha Vritti, Amrita Vritti. There are various methods prescribed for them. They can have, and none of them is very easy. None of these methods is very easy. So, many different ways they talk about it. Uncha Vritti means Unchavarti, that was followed by, it is not followed anymore, nobody is doing this anymore. So Unchavarti means in them days, what they used to do, it is Vaidikam, it's Vedic it is, that they have this begging pot, begging bowl, with that they have to chant the Vedic hymns and go for begging for food from other houses. They can beg for the food. They will go to seized for a few houses. They have restrictions on that. How many houses you can visit? 7 houses, 9 houses, something like that. And if you didn't get anything, you go home and fast. That was the system. You can't have anything more than that. So they'll go, and they were good householders them days. Not like today. Householders are also very giving nature. And so the householders will give them, when they come and knock at the door, but they will be reciting the Vedic hymns, and they'll show their begging bowl, and into that they will put some rice or dal or atta or something like that. They'll put it inside and they will take it home, cook that, eat it, whatever they have got. This was their life. There was nothing else for them to buy in this world. To that extent, situated in the platform of the soul. You can see Sudama's life, typical example of that. Is it not? Won't beg anywhere. Won't go. If it's not there, it's not there. That's attitude. That is their strength. So, and that is called Unchavarti. Unchavarti means that Sudama says to his wife, Brahmani, says, you can go and ask somebody, if they give anything, take it and bring it. If not, we will fast. This is the mood. That's how they lived. Is it not? So, Bhagavata system is this Unchavarti. Unchavarti it is called. So, it is not there anymore, but nobody is there who is living in this world in the Unchavarti anymore. But in the Bhagavata tradition, chanting the holy name and going for begging, that is Bhagavata Sampradaya. Vaidika Sampradaya, chant the Vedic hymns and go for begging. In Bhagavata Sampradaya, chant the holy name and go for begging. That was the system. So that sometimes some people still do for name's sake. But chanting the holy name and with the pot, they go for the begging for the food. And somebody will give them some rice or dal. And normally rice and dal, they'll put it together in there. Tyagaraja Swamiji, he lived like that. Whole life. Unchavarti. And they say that Bhagavata Sampradaya he followed. Chant the holy name of Ramachandra and went begging for food. That's how Tyagaraja lived. Sharabhoji king was there, and Sharabhoji, who was the king, he was the, at that time, Maharashtrian soldiers have invaded there, in that part of Tamil Nadu, and they were ruling that part. So King Sharabhoji, who was ruling that time, he was from the Maharashtrian side. He was very impressed by Tyagaraja Swamiji's that commitment in holding on to their traditions. So he wanted to give some money to him, to Tyagaraja. Sharabhoji, King Sharabhoji wanted to give some money to him. But he is not accepting it. No matter how much he encouraged Tyagaraja to accept the money, he won't accept it. So one day what Sharabhoji did was that, without anybody's knowledge, Tyagaraja was chanting the holy name Ramachandras and going around with the pot. And he was completely absorbed in his thoughts about thinking about Ramachandra and doing this Unchavarti. At that time, Sharabhoji went there and took some gold coins and put it into that pot, which he was begging for. So, after some time, even Tyagaraja was not aware of that he has put these coins into the pot. You can imagine, in his ecstatic mood, he was walking around. So, in one house, when he went and showed the pot, they put the rice and dal into that pot. And at that time, he noticed that there were some gold coins there. So, what did he do? He walks into the Kaveri River and throw the whole pot into the river and says that gold coins has polluted my rice and dal, he says. So, he with the rice and dal and the gold coins, everything gone into the river. He threw back into the river. He says, it has completely polluted my Unchavarti, which I was getting it. That's been polluted because gold coins have touched that. To that extent, they were rigid about that. So, that is the Unchavarti, what Bhagavata Sampradaya he has followed. He wouldn't accept anything from the kings. Although they were trying to recognize them and all that. Nowadays Brahmanas are saying that you have to pay us the running rate, they're saying. Nowadays the Brahmanas, you have to give us the running rate. They've got the thread, but this is the consciousness inside. And if you don't pay us the running rate, what's the point doing this? So, Kapodavruti, that is one. Unjavruti is that. Kapodavruti means that, Kapodavruti means, Kapodam is a bird, isn't it? So, Kapodavruti means, after the harvest is over, there will be a lot of grains lying back still in the ground, isn't it? There will be a lot of grains lying in the ground still. And after the farmer has taken away the harvested the food, the grains, and taken away, the Shastram says, you have to leave behind some grains for the birds as well as the mice and the rats and everything. They also have to eat. They should also be provided. So you can't take everything from the ground. So farmers are aware of that. Farmers leave something in the ground for them, for other living entities to eat. And imagine that. That is how the farmers thought at that time. The difference in the mind, our mind and their mind. We will make sure we'll use pesticide and everything as much as possible, kill all the insects, all the birds, as much as we could, so that everything comes to me. Nothing should go to anybody else. This is the mentality I'm saying. How much we have degraded ourselves. This is the mentality of the modern farming, isn't it? That we have got such powerful things, we have developed the chemicals, what we have got in this world today, the farmers use endosulfan. And so many powerful chemicals they use in such a way, birds will die, rats will die, mice will die, everything. You will get nothing from that ground, everything should come to mine. Everything is mine. This mentality. So, rishis are saying to us, that is not the proper way to live in this world. They are saying to that, and Rishi Sampradayam is like that, we have pumping pesticides everywhere, so that nobody else gets anything. Everything ours. Everything is ours, isn't it? What right have they got to live in this world? Why should they be there? They're just a headache eating our food, isn't it? This is the mood. So everything is pesticide for us, and whatever, what all we have developed, you go and see all what they're selling in the market, so that others won't come. So modern society and attitude is only I should live. Others doesn't matter whether he lives or not, whose problem, it's not my problem. I should live. Others doesn't have to live. So that is why Bhagavatam says, Ahastani sahastanam abadani chatushpadam phalguni mahadam tatra jivo jivase jivanam. Every living entity is one for living, it is put to another. Krishna has created this creation in such a way, all living entities has to live here. It's not only, it's ours. Krishna didn't say this whole planet is for you to enjoy. All others is not. Here, Krishna had sent them here also in their different bodies. One is in a rat's body, one is in another body. Whatever different bodies they have come, they also have an equal right to here. And dibadaha chatushpadaha. Therefore, there is a system in the creation. Ahastani sahastanam abadani chatushpadam. Then those who do not have legs, those who have got legs, they become their food. And two-legged animal has the right to eat the four-legged animal. And there is certain balance in, ecological balance as they call it. Dibadani chatushpadam. Phalguni mahadam tatra. Jivo jivase jivanam. That jivo jivase jivanam. One living entity is food to another. But at the same time, that in the setup, there is a portion allotted to everybody here. It's not only for us, everything for us. So, and the principle is that everybody should live satisfied in here. That is why you will see in the Upanishad Mantram that Sahaviryam Karavamahai. Sahaviryam Karavamahai. The Upanishad Mantram. It says, Sahaviryam Karavamahai. Sahaviryam Karavamahai means we all live together and survive here. And so you can see that that does not mean that you have to go and control everybody's life, all other living entities. That's not what it means. So that is one important principle. And all this has changed in our Brahmana's life. Brahmana did not
care for anything. Like you can see in the modern world also that when we do not understand or accept these principles, we may try to control other living entities in so many different ways, is it not? Like so many vaccinations we have developed against various illnesses, and we think we have made it a success in all that. But you can see material nature is always powerfully coming back. Look at this Ebola now. It's becoming a cause of concern in many ways, is it not? So that is because you will notice one thing, that when we become extremely our own interest, selfish interest, material nature will come from somewhere in some form and it will react in another way and teach us a lesson that you are not the controller, I am the controller. Prakriti will react strongly in some form. How that will come, it's very difficult to say, where it will develop in some way. And it is a strong warning to all of us at that time that come out of that selfishness, to think that everything is mine, it's not ours. So therefore in them days, in that kapotavritti means, they will leave something for the birds and for some animals be behind. And after the birds and animals have come and eaten, if there is something else left, then the brahmanas will go and pick it up. That's how it was. Nowadays, brahmana, if he doesn't get the check in the bank on the first, brahmana gets disturbed. Modern brahmana gets disturbed about it. So bring that what was there left behind in that ground, bring it home, and with that maintain the family. Imagine that, maintain the family. After the birds and the animals have eaten, still if there was some, because agriculture was the main way of living them days, there was no industry or business like these days. Agriculture was the main occupation. So naturally, the way they lived was that whatever after harvest, if anything was left behind, that was eaten by the birds and animals. And after that, if there is anything still left, you can have it. You can pick it up from there. So you will notice in the Mahabharatam that famous story of the one mongoose. Remember? That half of his body became gold color. Is it not? So that brahmana, he goes to a brahmana's house. And there was a sacrifice there. And he says that after rolling down there, half of my body was turned into gold. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj performed this Rajasuyam. And after that, this mongoose goes there and mongoose came there. And Yudhishthira noticed this mongoose coming out and rubbing its body in the ground. So Yudhishthira was curious to find out. He asked Krishna about this. Krishna saying, you know why he had come? So Krishna told the whole story of that mongoose. Mongoose whole story, he says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, to make Yudhishthira aware that his sacrifice was not the highest, Rajasuyam. Why? Lot of wealth was acquired by forcefully. It was not acquired properly like a brahmana has acquired. So therefore, to teach the Yudhishthira a lesson, he says to him that the mongoose is telling us that when he rolled in the ground, the other half didn't become gold. Like the first half, it has become gold. When he went to the other brahmana's house, indicating to us that your sacrifice is not the greatest sacrifice. The mongoose saying that the sacrifice in the brahmana's house was far, far superior than your sacrifice. Although this sacrifice was more opulent with all the wealth in this world, 17 months, 17 days it lasted in Hastinapur. And all the great personalities had come there, all the rishis were present there, Krishna was there present there. In spite of all that, that Rajasuyam sacrifice was lower than the sacrifice what the brahmana has done. Because brahmana, like this Unchavurti, has gone and picked up the grains, he brought home and he maintained the family, and then he cooked from that and he offered it to the guests. And if there was anything left, he took it. And that is why when the mongoose went there and turned in that ground, and when he rolled in the ground, half of the body became golden color. So the mongoose says at that time, your sacrifice is not that great as the sacrifice I had attended before in the brahmana's house. Just to indicate to us that thing. That though. So
Till recently, it's not long ago, say about 40-50 years ago even, Brahmanas didn't have any wealth. They never had any wealth. History tells us all lies. History is teaching us all the lies. When did they start becoming rich? When did the Brahmanas becoming rich? That is also an interesting thing to know that. So when the Brahmanas started changing their profession, when they were given trouble by the administration, the administration, the modern way of life started when they brought administration in such a way and they started recruiting people. Administration in a particular way, in the modern way, when it started like the in the district level, in the lower level, in the state level, national level and all that. Different ways, they started bringing a system, what is the modern system, what we have now in this world all over. So when they introduced that, the first time, they told these Brahmanas to come and start working for them. They started accepting the work there. So it is at that time they started getting money, was introduced, cash was introduced and given to them. And when did they, when that started becoming building up in them, which was not there. So in the history books, if you'll see there, even today when they are teaching history in India, they are saying that the intellectual class, they controlled everybody else. It was a big criticism against many of the Indian prime ministers as well. Now it is not so much, because if you look back into the prime ministers, Nehru was a Brahmana, then Shastri, Lal Bahadur Shastri was a Brahmana. So many of them were in that tradition, and therefore they were criticized for this. That they are Brahmanas, but now they have got control and power, and but that is not the real Brahminical tradition. These are all modern things, what has happened. So, what the history done was, they were all completely criticized, very strongly, and they made their life very hard. Brahmanas' life, very hard. So what did they do? They gave up their commitment in spiritual life, and they started taking up jobs, businesses, they started doing that. And they started acquiring huge amount of wealth. There are so many rich Brahmanas industrialists now. You can see in the Vedic system, there were Brahmanas once. And they themselves feel ashamed that they have made so much wealth. So much wealth they had acquired. Huge enterprises they have. And if you, they know very well what they have done is the wrong thing, which is not meant to happen, but it happened in that way. So, it is a fact, because they never had any attraction for money at any time. In fact, in the early days, all the schools, Veda Patashala, where they were teaching Vedam, Vedam was taught, who financed them? Business people financed them. Brahmanas had no wealth. They will go and study Vedam, and they will practice the Vedic way of life. But they were maintained by the business people. They will, as a matter of charity, they will maintain the Veda Patashala. Veda Patashala means the schools where Vedam was taught, Gurukulam-like system. So, and in different states, if you look, you will see business people have managed it all the time. It's the business people manage them. So, they maintain everything. There will be no money in the hands of the Brahmanas. Brahmanas won't have any cash with them. So, few people will have a little bit in their hands. And others had little bit of agriculture, but they also would not do that seriously. Most of the people didn't have anything. And if you had money in the Brahmana's hands, if you had wealth, then other members in the family will look down upon them for keeping wealth. Can you imagine? Right opposite to what it is today in our society. In our society, if you have a lot of wealth, you will adore them. Oh, he's got so much money, he's so wealthy. And we list, make the list, isn't it? Top 100 and top 50 and all that. And we think it is fantastic to talk like that. If you are in the top 50 or top 100 of the wealthy people. For Brahmanas, it's the most disgusting thing to say that you are among the top 50 or top 100. If they had so much wealth, they felt ashamed about that. But there will be always somebody have that state. They are called Laugiga Brahmanas. Laugiga Brahmanas, Brahmanas who have got materialistic tendencies. materialistic tendencies. So this has happened to this Avanti Brahmana. This is what has happened to him. He had so much wealth. So much wealth. And because of that, the whole society was looking down upon him for acquiring this wealth. Look at that society and look at today's society. They were looking at him for making so much wealth. Everybody was cursing him. Why are you doing this? Having got this birth in that way. So that is why you will see in these verses when you read Bhikshu Gita, why everybody is after him for making some money to such an extent to get heavy on him like this. When Krishna is saying verse after verse, he made this so much money, he made this, he did that. This is all normal in this world today, isn't it? As he says here, that when he's referring to the Brahmana, he says there, verse after verse, Krishna is keep on saying this, and you start wondering, why is it such a bad thing what he has done? Yes. Yeah. Vidyade bradaro dhara pidara sukhrudasthadaha ega snigdha kagi ninya sadhya sarveraya kradaha arthenal piya sahyede samrabdham rabdha dhiptamanyavaha and tejandhya shuspudoghanandi sahalso ojra sauhradam. And these 15 things what Brahmana said, the mistake he has made. Arthasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rakshane vyaye nashobha bhoga mayasa trasas chinda brahma nranam sneyam himsa anudam dambham kamam krotham smayam madam bhedam vairam avishwasam samsparda vyasananicha. Money, what he has created. He knows all these things. That is the sad thing. Ordinary people who don't know anything, they just go blind after money, isn't it? But in Brahmana's case, he knew what problems money will create. And still he has gone and done it, made the money. So at that time, he didn't have the proper intelligence working inside. You can see, Krishna has taken from verse 2 onwards, right up to, right up to verse 30, 28 verses to talk about one's greed. About this Brahmana's greed, to talk about it, Krishna has taken 28 verses, from verse 2 to verse 28, all about one thing, that Brahmana's greed. So, there are so many people like that in this world. We won't take that seriously, isn't it? So many people are wealthy in this world, what can you do? That's their nature. But why is it spoken so strongly by Krishna spoken like this? Reason is that Krishna is saying here that as though it's a very special thing. Krishna is stressing that point. The same thing Krishna is conveying to us also. Human body has been given for a purpose. Particularly that body for him, for that Brahmana. He didn't utilize it. So Krishna is feeling bad about it, that I've given him this opportunity, he didn't utilize it. Indirectly he's telling others also the same thing. Human body, as far as Krishna is concerned, is for realizing the truth, realizing the self, not for acquiring wealth, not for anything else. So, therefore, and therefore the whole setup is, Brahmana is supposed to acquire wealth through charity only. If anybody gives it, he can take it for minimum necessities, not otherwise. So charity has to be given to him. In the Valmiki Ramayanam, you may remember that story. We spoke about that. There is a Brahmana there. So Ramachandra wanted to give charity. So this Brahmana heard that Ramachandra is giving charity. So he's coming from a very, very long distance. He's an old person. He couldn't even walk properly. He had a stick in the hand, and he had his dhoti on, and his shikha on, and he heard that Ramchandra is giving charity, so he decided to go and ask for some charity. So, and Ramchandra was leaving for the forest after giving away everything. And he has given away everything. Most of the things have gone, finished. The sale is over. And it is at that time, this Brahmana arrives there. He's called a Trijada Brahmana. Trijada Brahmana is the area where he comes from. And he has got a danda in his hand. Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi is on ready to leave for the forest. So Ramachandra saw this Brahmana who had come to asking for charity. He smiled. Ramachandra, just felt smiling at him, seeing his situation. Body is become so old and decrepit in the sense that he's struggling to walk even, and he has come asking for this charity. But he has come thinking that he may get something in charity. So Ramachandra himself felt funny about the whole thing. Ramachandra says to him that he didn't know what to say to him. So he says that, "You got that stick in your hand? That stick, throw the stick as far as you can throw, as far as it can go. And I'll give you as many cows as necessary to cover that distance where the stick has gone," he said. And Ramachandra looked at him, this old man. This old Brahmana, what did he do? He had his under the second cloth. He tied it very strongly on his waist and pulled up all the energy what he had and threw the stick. And Ramachandra saw the stick has gone and fallen onto the other side of the Sarayu River. Where did that strength come from? When you look at that Brahmana, he is so old. He has no strength in him. But that Ramachandra says, that strength, that shows the strength of the desire inside, says Ramachandra. It is so that, so what he promised was, I'll give you as many cows, as much. So seeing the strength of the Brahmana, Ramachandra was so impressed. Seeing that, he says to him, he doesn't have even strength to walk. But when he throw the stick, it has gone and fallen on the other side of the river even. And so what is indicating to us, our body may be weak, but the desire is not weak. Body may be weak, we are getting old, we are getting weak. But you can't say that, so the desire is concerned, it has gone weak. That is what that Bhartahari also says. Trishna is the desires, Trishna is never weak. Trishna is not going weak, only the body is getting weak, but desire is not getting weak. So Ramachandra gave cows to that distance in a line, keeping the cows in line, and gave them to this Brahmana in charity to him. So what we are saying about this is Kapodavruti. Unchavruti, Kapodavruti. Kapodavruti, there are Brahmanas will know which way of life, either Unchavruti or Kapodavruti, which way they are, Shilonchavruti. There is another methods also. So, but in this situation, like there is this famous incident, what happened was, Acharya Swamiji goes to one house as a brahmachari, 86-87 years old. So, on an Ekadashi day, he goes there, and that was in his Purvashram, not as a sannyasi. Goes into this brahmana's house, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, give me bhiksha, he says to the mother in the house. So, there's nothing in the house to give bhiksha. So what should she do? There was two amalaga fruit at home that was in the tree there. She brings that and gives it to Acharya as a bhiksha there. There was no rice, there was no food, nothing was there to give it to this young brahmachari. When brahmacharis comes home asking for bhiksha, the mother is supposed to give bhiksha. That is the system. Bhiksha. They should offer the food to the brahmachari. But that didn't happen. Only these two amalaga fruit, she gave it to him. It is at that time, seeing that situation of that householder, poverty, Acharya Swamiji stood there and wrote this famous song known as Kanakadharastavam. Kanakadhar, glorifying Lakshmi Devi. And suddenly from the sky, gold coins fell there in front of her. So much gold has fallen in front. And that is why Kanakadhara it is called. Kanakadhara means the falling of Kanakam. Kanakam is gold. The gold has fallen from the sky in front of that householder. And they were given some help by Acharya at that time. So this was the system always. They lived like that in poverty. When there is extreme poverty, it is very, very difficult also. There were many people like that. There was one Shastraji who has, not long ago, he lived that life. He was a great scholar, such a great scholar, that and he went, and them days, some Kshatriya kings also, this is not very long back, about say 100 years ago, this incident happened. The king were very interested in the astrology. There was a king, he goes to him and learns from him all the astrological sciences in detail about from
But later on, when he comes across a realized personality, he gives up astrology and takes to spiritual life seriously. Some of the scholars were like that. Brahmana scholars who were advanced in spiritual life, they lived that life. Knowledge was their preoccupation. Self-realization knowledge, not acquiring wealth. Acquiring wealth was their priority. Once they have developed a taste for spiritual life and spiritual knowledge, then they give up this business of acquiring wealth. Once they have developed a taste for spiritual knowledge, self-realization, bhakti, then they give up this automatically, this attachment for wealth. Then otherwise this person, he had a great opportunity to make as much wealth as he wanted, but he didn't pursue that. So he was so well known and knowledgeable also. But later on in his life, you can see what happened to him was this Shastri. Later on, he gave up everything, and on a daily basis, his anushtanam was, he chanted the holy name for hours together and circumambulated the Tiruvannamalai hills for the whole day, which took about 6-7 hours at his old age. Every day, every single day, circumambulating the hill and also chanting the holy name. He spent his life in that way. Some people who have gone to visit him at that time, even when you went to visit them, he asked his wife, she says his wife, even at that age, he will ask his wife if there is anything for the visitor to have, to eat, and he will ask them to bring, and there was nothing at home to offer. That was there. This is how they lived. So how did they live then? Jnana Eka Nishtha, situated in the knowledge, in the platform of the self. But inside, even though poverty was there, inside there is that shanti inside, that fulfillment inside. So you will see there in that Kanakadharasthavam what Acharya wrote about that. He will mention there that. You will see that the beauty of that verse is how Mahalakshmi was pleased by the invocation. Why? Mahalakshmi was pleased by the invocation. It mentions that Angam Hare Pulagabhushanam Ashrayanti Bhringanganeva Mugulabharanam Tamalam Angi Gradagila Vibhudi Ravangalila Mangalya Dastu Mama Mangala Devadaya Mugdham Huru Vithadadi Vadane Murare Premattavapani Hidani Gadagadani Maladeshor Padugari Vamahul Paleya Same Shriyam Dishadu Sagara Sambhavaya. There is a few verses glorifying Mahalakshmi in this way. And as soon as this glorification over, they say that the gold fell from the sky for the householder's purpose. So you can see there that this is Brahmana, Brahmanim life is there. They are meant to be like that. So because as far as they are concerned, that that becoming rich and becoming poor in this world, there's always that chance, isn't it? You could be rich, you could be poor. And you can see sometimes somebody becomes rich in life, and you also see in this world somebody becoming poor. Both happens here. There's nothing permanent in that sense. So, and that is in Krishna's control. That's nobody can say who is rich and who will be poor. That is in Krishna's control. And there is nothing to be proud about that when that happens. So wherever Krishna has put us, in whatever situation, and to live in that state peacefully, that is what is expected from us. To live happily and peacefully in that situation, wherever Krishna has put us in this world. That is why that examples in the Bhagavadam, you will see there, Ambarish was put in a very wealthy situation, was it not? Ambarish Maharaj. You look at Ambarish opulences in the Bhagavadam if you read. He was not only the king of this planet, he was controlling so many other planets as well. That Saptadvipavadhimahi, so many say spoken about that.
He was so wealthy, and the amount of army, gold, and all other facilities what he had, Ambarish was so wealthy, in spite of that, he was a great devotee. He didn't care for anything. If you look Bhagavatam, you will see Ambarish stayed. It's a very important phrase in the Bhagavatam that Ambarish Maharaj says in the, if you, Ambarisho Mahabhagam 9.4, chapter 9.4.15. Ambarisho Mahabhaga Saptadvibhavadim Mahim Avyayam Jashriyam Labdhva Vibhavam Chadulam Bhuvi. Menedi durlabham bumsam sarvam dat sotnasam studam vidvan vibhava narmanam tamo vishadiyal puman. Even though he had all these opulences, he was always aware that this is all nothing but a dream. Remain in that state? To think like that? All the opulences in this world he had, but he was always conscious that it is nothing but a dream. Vidvan sarvam tat sotnasam studam. It's nothing but a dream is going, passing through. Why should I be affected by that? Vasudeve Bhagavadi tal bhakteshu yasatushu prapto bhavam param vishvam yenedam loshtaval smritam. Vasudeve Bhagavadi, his attachment was only towards Krishna and the devotees. Totally attached to Krishna and the tad bhakteshu yasatushu and the realized souls. Prapto bhavam param vishvam. And when he was looking at the world, it was enedam loshtaval smritam. Just like we say bricks and the mortar. It was not, that's all he found in this world, which he concerns himself. And therefore, in the next three verses, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vajamsi Vaigunda Guna Anuvarnanam Karau Hareir Mandiram Arjana Dishu Shudim Jagara Chudasalkadodaye Mukundalingalaya Darshani Drishotal Brityagatram Sparshenga Sangamam Granam Jatalpada Saroja Saujapam Srimat Tulasyam Resanam Tadarpide Padao Harakshetra Padanu Sarpani Shiro Krishigesha Padabhivandani Kamam Jadasyena Dukamagam Yaya Yadutama Shloka Jana Shrayarati. Just to tell us that what was Ambarish Maharaj's consciousness? He had so much wealth, and he looked at this whole world and he thought it is nothing but a dream passing through. Imagine that state. And therefore he was serious about spiritual life. And his spiritual life is those three verses. Which one? This Savai Mana Krishna Padaravandir, completely attached to Krishna. Nothing else. He didn't ever thought that this world is real. Always thought that this world is a dream. And he lived like that. He only knew that Krishna is only real thing. Nothing else is real here. That realization. And if such a wealthy person like Ambarish to happen, imagine his state of mind at that time, what it was. This is one example in the Bhagavatam. Opposite to that, and therefore, even though he is so wealthy, he was in Brahmanishta, fixed in the truth. Is it not? Even though he was so wealthy, he was fixed in the truth. Now, right opposite to that, Sudama, look at his state, that he was extremely poor. No prasadam even to eat. So much in poverty and still in Brahmanishta. That is the interesting thing. If you have a lot of wealth, still in Brahmanishta. Complete extreme poverty, still in Brahmanishta. So what does that indicate? It is saying to us that that material situation, what it is, has nothing to do with your self-realization. With the self-realization. To be fixed in spiritual. If you have the proper knowledge inside, even if there is wealth in the life, it won't have any effect. But that doesn't happen normally. Majority of the cases, once the wealth comes, it will go inside and it will develop ahankaram, turn into ahankaram. And that is where Krishna has to act. Then, when Krishna wants to bless him, he will take the wealth away. Like in the case of Mahabali, it has to be done. There was no other choice. Whereas Ambarish case, it was not necessary. Ambarish was in that state all the time. In spite of the wealth, it didn't get into his head. Nalakavera and Manigriva had problem. So they had to be treated properly. So according to the disease, the treatment. According to the disease, the treatment. Many times you will see people become communists and others purely because of poverty. Poverty breeds into all these things, and that develops into hate towards others and anger towards others. It's all the after effect of all those things. And what can be done? Poverty has come in their life. What can you do about that? So then what happens is, then they start hating everybody. And that develops into class war, and those who have got money, they start hating them. And develops into so many problems in the society as well. So similarly, they will hate capitalism, isn't it? They hate the capitalism at that time. Communism has got this. Similarly, capitalists also in the same way. All these isms have come like this. Due to economic conditions changing, it develops into these isms. Capitalism or communism or whatever ism. All these isms are byproduct of the changing economic conditions in the society. So, whatever it may be, what Krishna is saying to us, whatever may be the prarabdham, because prarabdham is, that's what turns into this, is it not? You become rich or poor according to the prarabdham. Irrespective of what the prarabdham is, the shraddha, attention or nishtha, if it is in Krishna, then there will be shanti. Otherwise there won't be any shanti. If you get affected by the external conditions, and if you expect the external conditions to change before take to spiritual life, it will not happen. That is the warning in this part in the Bhagavad Gita. He is saying here that if you depend on Krishna, that is Brahmanishta, fixed in spiritual life, and that is the one has to be concerned about, not about your temporary economic conditions, whether you are rich or poor today or tomorrow, it does not matter. So, and therefore he is saying there, in that chapter, he says, I have wasted my life. Brahmana knows these things, that this is the proper understanding of life. So Brahmana is saying there, I have wasted my life, and that is those three verses where he is saying, Arthena alpiya sahede samradha deepta manyavaha tejandhyashaspudo ghanandi sahasol sraja sauhradam ledhva janmamara prathyam manushyam tadvijagradam tadanadrite swartham ghanandiyandhya shubham gadim surgabavargayodwaram prapyalogamimam puman drivine konushajeda martyo anarthasya dhamani. Those three verses he says after realizing this, what he has done. That he says there, I have come to this world, to this earth. There is one opportunity, if I want, I could go to the heavenly planets. Otherwise I can get liberated. And this, all this opportunity I had in this life, because that was another opportunity. Because he had so much wealth, had he used that wealth properly, at least he would have got elevated into the higher planets in a proper way. He didn't do that either. So he's lamenting about that. If he has cultivated spiritual knowledge, jnanam, bhakti and vairagyam, if he has cultivated them, it would have been an opportunity to go in the spiritual life higher. That was one opportunity he has lost. The money he has acquired, the wealth, he didn't utilize it properly. Therefore, no possibility of going to the higher planets either. So in all way, the future doesn't look very good. It looked very bleak. So he's saying here, unnecessarily in this life, I've gone and started getting, sticking to some silly things in this world in the name of acquiring wealth. I've gone and started sticking to false things. I've gone being sticking to that. And so that is how he mentions there. So you can see that Bhagavad Gita has a lot to tell us, lot of things to tell us. So this Bhagavad Gita will come back when we come back in after 3 weeks' time. We'll discuss this again, one or two classes, and see that how, after all this realization, when Bhikshu started speaking, it is the same knowledge what Hastamalaka was saying. Absolutely no difference at all. Only thing is, in Bhikshu's case, it happened in this lifetime. In Hastamalaka's case, all the things have happened in the past. Therefore, when he was born and he started speaking, it was directly the knowledge coming from there. Hastamalaka didn't have to go through all this. Probably he has gone through in his previous lifetime. Progressive way it has happened, and in this life he was able to come to the same understanding what Bhikshu is going to tell us later. So we'll see in the first 10th or so December. We'll continue with the classes, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
జయమటుకి రూపాదీ జయ.